Town and Rural Planning Board, Monday, November 18th, 2019.
Good evening, everybody. We'll call a meeting to order for the Town and Rural Planning Board for November 18th, 2019. I'm going to start off with a review of the minutes from October 21st, 2019, and I give my planning board members a chance to refresh and take a look. I want to give a public thanks to Jerry for his help at last month's meeting, minus a recording secretary. He did a fantastic job at accounting for many details and giving us a good accurate record. So thanks, Jerry. Appreciate you all doing that. With that, folks, I ask you to take a minute to take a look at the minutes and ask for any additions, deletions, or corrections.
Normally would be a pretty straightforward subdivision, and it is in large part. The only thing is this is being served by a private drive again, and it is in fact essentially a three-lot subdivision because we have the two that he's splitting off the parent lot, and then so we automatically have three. So the primary consideration is to make sure, as you normally do with these shared driveways, that we have the easement set up properly, for maintenance and access and all that, properly recorded. Other than that, it's pretty straightforward. The lots are complying in terms of minimum area. And the other thing is that we want to make sure of, and this does that, in my opinion, is that we want to make sure these are configured in such a way that we don't mess up access to the remaining balance of the property. And I think that it appears to be preserved by what's being done here. So it's a pretty straightforward, run-of-the-mill subdivision other than that.
So the three homes that are shown, to the north of the two lots they're already sharing the driveway that the other two lots would.
Okay, sure,
correct.
Yes. And the responsibility as well as maintenance. We're both on the driveways.
Yeah, the other Havens? Yeah. The other one.
What was your name? Andrew Havens.
Thank you, Andrew. This is just for recording purposes for our little black box. And we'll ask anybody else tonight if you get an opportunity to speak in front of the board. They please state your name and your address for recording purposes. Thank you. So I'm sorry, so the other three homes are already
shared. Yeah, the other one, the one at the road belongs to my sister. The The next one is my brother Andy's, and then the third one is mine.
Between lot, the first lot that is touching Harrison and the second lot, there seems to be a space.
Yeah, there's about
3/8 of an acre.
Yeah. What it was is when my...
What do you mean by 3/8 of an acre?
What it was is my parents owned the whole, my sister's home. That used to be my parents' home. And they owned the whole thing.
Okay.
When my dad originally sold, gave, or if you want to look at it, to me and my brother, he wanted to have enough room around his house to be able to, you know, if he wanted to do something. When my dad passed away and my mom sold the property to us, she said, I wanted it just, I can't remember, it's like an acre and a half that she has. And she said, you can just add that on to, and more or less, that's what Andy has done with his, is he just added it on to his.
So looking at this map, I'll just keep the lots, the four, the two lots that you've got, those two, they're not touching the lot, the line to the north. So is that line, so you're going to have property behind those houses or around those houses also?
Yes, and the reason why we're doing that is because for the same reason that my dad had originally done that. If at any point we want access to the back of it, if I want to go out and ride my four-wheeler, what have you, I ain't got to worry about driving on my son's lawn, or if he sells it to someone else in the future, I don't have to worry about driving on someone else's property. I have like 30 feet behind them that still belongs to the main parcel.
Well, that might sound good in this decade or so, but if you take it moving 50 years ahead and the properties change hands over time, there's going to be probably confusion and who owns that little piece of land between the two, and it could cause trouble.
I kind of understand your point, Reed, but the deed is going to be clear. You know, I know it's a funny configuration, but I can understand his motivation behind wanting to do that.
Would the shared driveway be a path to the rear of the property?
Well, I know what he's saying is that
if that becomes a public road at some point down the road,
it won't become a public road.
Or it could. It could at some point.
Wide enough to be active.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, things could be done. I mean, I can understand what he's doing with that space in the rear of these lots. You know, if he wants to provide access.
To cut down, you know, I mean, if we go out for firewood or stuff like that, it's just easier. Plus, like I say, mainly the biggest reason is we all own ATVs or whatever you want to call them, and we have a place where we can ride them where we're not tearing up, nobody's tearing my lawn up, and I'm not tearing anybody else's lawn up.
And at a point in the future, if they did want to expand these lots and do away with that dimension in the back, that could be easily enough done as well.
So we've got a space between lots two, between lot one and two, there's lot three, then there's a space between three and four?
Yes, there's a 25 foot between mine and the first lot for the same reason, so that I can just go out of my yard into the...
All I can see is that's going to be trouble down the road. Well, that's just an opinion, one board member's opinion, because nobody's going to remember that.
Well, there's going to be opinions on all of it.
I think it would be cleaner if all the lots were...
I think it's a good idea. You know, I mean, you kind of got like a little fire break there. I've been down in the back there. We had to get a fire truck down to the woods for brush fires.
And there is a fire.
There's a nice access road there. I personally like it.
And that was one of the reasons why it was done before Mr. Skimmerhorn cleaned his lot. That was the only access to the back of that.
Was behind those.
Yeah, and you can get a fire. I mean,
we've used it.
Yeah, my brother's been out through there with his dump truck. Like you said, there was a brush fire out there like 15, 20 years ago, and they had fire equipment out there then. Off from that, going across the back.
So between the property line and the other property, that space, what's roughly the width of that land?
It varies. It goes at a little bit of an angle, but it's consistently about 25 at its narrowest, and then it does widen out to probably, what,
40 out there. See, I had a second lightweight put in, like a small figure eight for a driveway, because I had
big truck and trailer, so it came in on that side. That was for safety reasons, so we had to back down the driveway with the kids and stuff.
I guess, so next question would be, coming from Harrison to the lot in the back, how wide is that, how wide are we going to make that, require that road to be used?
Right now, it's a minimum of 50 feet.
We need a minimum of 40.
Right now, it's 50.
No, it's that, this shared driveway won't be a road.
It's already staked out as 50 feet, though.
Well, the dimension, how wide is the actual driveway itself?
The drive surface is about 25, but the right-of-way for it is 50. All of our houses are in our...
Okay, but now, but the following question is, we're going to make sure that there's an easement, an agreement, and we're going to have a set agreement what that road's going to be.
Each of our lots has a deed.
I understand that, but we're going to, as the planning board, we're going to require that this road be a certain spec, and that an assignment agreement from all the lot owners to maintain that. That's what we've been, that's been our rule.
That's, we've spoken with
Mr. Mark,
the guy that's doing it, yes, and I've spoken to our lawyer about it, and all that's going to be written right into the deeds. And I actually...
So basically, we have a 50-wide, roughly a 50-wide space, but what we've been normally doing is having that shared driveway be... Is that right, Jim?
What did you say, normally what?
The space, the length, the width of the, between the property is 50 feet, but what we've been requiring the shared driveway to be a minimum, or set it up as a 40-foot driveway?
Well, no, the width has to be a minimum of 40 feet
right.
At the road. The driveways can vary, you know, depending on the need here. It's usually a single-lane driveway. I think that's what you have.
We have probably, a double-week and pass two vehicles past each.
Okay, then that's... you know, we would like to see that the fire apparatus can get back there without getting stuck.
Going back to the McKenna agreement,
yeah.
We set a certain width, did we not?
I can't remember what it was. But
is that the width that we're going to require on this one?
Not 40. 40 feet is even wider than a town road. I mean, driving surface. You're probably looking at, you know...
No, I'm not
18 feet.
So what? So ask what was the width? Or we can use that width that we required in Canada's.
Are you talking about the actual driving surface, Reed, or the width, the dimension of the reserve space?
The right.
We required the road to be a certain compaction.
Yes.
And a certain width.
Yes.
The road itself. Yes. Is that what we're going to do here? Also?
Yeah. It was basically single lane in that instance.
And there was a difference because McKenna was a shared driveway.
This is as well.
No, it's not. This is a private road.
No, we don't have private roads in this town.
This is probably my biggest sticking point with this at the moment. If you could answer this for me, Mr. Martin, what is this appeal number 806? It says application number variance appeal number 806.
That was for the lack of frontage on a town road.
Okay, so they got a variance for lack of frontage.
Yeah.
So the zoning board has approved them having a private road.
Correct.
Okay. So then you can go on. I just wanted to make sure that that.
So
was
we have a. So what qualifies this as a private road?
Because these properties don't have any frontage on a public road, so this is a road.
Don't get caught up in private road and driveway. It's in this community, it's one and the same thing. So don't get caught up on that terminology.
Okay.
Now, this is my distinction.
Okay.
Because we also say in our zoning that all property or all lots have to have frontage on a public road.
Correct.
Okay. So these lots do not have frontage.
And that's why they got the variance.
Do we have that?
We have a number, right?
No, but I don't know. Have you seen that?
I can get the resolution.
What, only from the perspective of... Does it provide an additional stipulation or specification around, you know, how the road should...
I don't recall that it did, but I'll look it up. Because we're a sketch plan here before we get to preliminary.
Fair
enough.
Just for as a go forward, if there's additional details that the zoning board had specified, we would want to take that into account.
Yep, I can look that up. I'll look that up.
So that zoning board ruling is for all four lots?
No, the two that are being created here. The other ones were in existence prior. I don't know, they subdivided it at some point in the past. How many?
25 years.
Yeah, so.
I just, I mean, is there a limit to that?
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about four houses now that don't have frontage. Two of them were pre-existing from 25 years ago, that's a long time ago, but.
Usually, John, the limit is a practical matter in terms of fire coverage and EMS coverage is what we're looking for. So is there any, you know, limitations on providing emergency services here? I mean, we got, like, one example comes to mind is Jackson Road in this town. There's down there by the river.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably 8-10 dwellings, especially in the summertime, that are occupied. That are at the end of a private road, a private drive.
The Sweets have one off of Reservoir Road, too, but that was all decided years and years ago. It's just, I guess I get concerned when I'm looking at two building lots that don't have access to a public road. Right? And we have a private road or a private driveway that is not an HOA. All the properties don't own that. It's owned by another entity.
Excuse me. In each of our deeds for our property, we have a right-of-way. And that's what each of these lots.
So it's a deed of right of way over that.
Yeah, that's why it's
over that other property owner's property.
He and I own a lot of land there, but it's through whoever does end up with our properties. Even will have right of way across this. It's in all the deeds as it starts out.
Even the one at the road is
has a right of way. He and I own the right of way. But everybody else it is.
Well, and the next two lots will also own a right of way.
They'll own a piece of the right of way as well. Yes, sir.
It looks like, just from the sketch, right, that portion of the driveway as it crosses adjacent to the lot, I think it's called lot number four, as you work your way to the south.
Yes, sir.
From Harrison Avenue. It looks like the driveway crosses onto lot four and then onto lot five and then back off.
Yeah, we, right now, because it's undeveloped, we have just been going the easiest way through there. That'll all be straightened up so that it lines up with it, just like the first three lots.
Yep. All right.
When it gets to that point, there's a big, huge pine tree right there in the middle of lot three. That,
what's the length of this driveway when you, by the time you get back to that?
About
500 feet. About 500 feet, okay.
So that's my next question, is when you get to what I guess you could call lot six, almost, right? If this is the remaining lot, mm-hmm. the back right up. Starting lot one, four, five, six. Is there, like, from a fire perspective, will it be like a hammerhead?
Right now, that you go past that, and that's all wide open back there.
Pretty swing.
Yeah. I drive a truck every minute, and I can swing a 53-footer around there without a bit of trouble.
Right.
So, I mean, it's not.
When it's plowed in the winter, do you plow that also, like
yes.
the hammerhead?
Yes.
There are different requirements for driveways beyond 300 feet for fire apparatus in particular. There's state requirements. They have to be a little wider. They have to be cleared higher. Okay. That can be wide enough for two vehicles to pass, or there has to be places where that can happen, and that kind of thing. And it's mainly for emergency services.
And we have always maintained that, you know, I mean, he owns quite a bit of equipment, and we have always maintained that no matter how much snow you had, it was. If we're looking to work, we got to dozer out and push the banks back. Or
so as a technical matter, one of the things that we'll ask in terms of follow-up items is to add some of those details because of the driveway being in excess. We heard that it meets certain specifications in terms of its ability to load bear, what your compaction would want to look like, what the travel width that you maintain would want to look like. So we'll look at laying some of those things as a detail on the drawing. We'll just put a list with the drawing.
Okay.
We'll go through that as we make our list here in a minute.
And so this is in the UR, so under 1 acre lots are acceptable in the UR?
Yes.
And then
yes.
Some, right?
Yes. Yeah. As a matter of fact, these are a little oversized for the district.
Okay. These are 9 tenths.
Yeah.
Is any of the houses have sewer?
Those are all septics.
But you'll have public water.
Yes, we all have public water. There's a 3-inch drain that runs down past this house okay. right now. Correct.
You're going to extend that?
We'll have to for these
yeah.
houses.
Yeah.
That way it'll just be in front of each of theirs.
We've actually kicked around the idea too, and something that I would like to do is, at that point, if we can, I'd like to put a fire hydrant out there at some point.
I don't know if we can.
I don't know if you can with a 3-inch or not.
I don't know if those are. That's something that you should talk to Jesse about, maybe get his approval on that.
He definitely want to know about that.
Yeah, but just take a look at that.
I mean, there's plenty of water if they needed it.
Oh, yeah.
But like I said, I would feel better about that myself because, like I said, it's
quite a really hard time. Something for everyone to give their suggestions also.
What other questions do you have?
Jim, going back to the zoning board of appeals, when was that roughly?
Oh, I'd have to go back and look, Reed. I wouldn't want to have to make
it. Fairly recent since you've been on board?
Yeah.
It was about a year, just about a year and a half ago that we had that.
Oh, I missed the 2018.
We ran into some family issues that kind of shelved us for a little while. That's why we're back at it now.
Yeah, I think it's been a while. Yeah, I remember you coming in to see me, but it's been a while.
It was August.
Okay, thank you.
Just for bookkeeping purposes, it would be nice in the future if there's a variance like this that affects a project in this way, it would be nice to have a copy.
I'm going to get you that.
Well, ahead of time.
Okay. I could have provided that.
We don't always read the minutes from the zoning meetings, you know, and they don't always read ours. So it's nice to kind of have an idea of how they came to a determination.
What other questions do you have, Board?
What's the topography of this look like? Is it level back there?
It's fairly flat, slight slope. Skewer horn from front to back, I think his pitch is 7 feet or about 5 feet from Harrison to where these lots are on ours.
Well, that's very flat.
So it's fairly flat, but it's got a 1% grade to it.
It's flat enough.
Just a question about the road going back to the farthest lot that we're trying to, the shared driveway, shared access road. Are we going to be worried about where runoff or where water might go or might not go? And I guess when we do the condition of the road, properly deal with that?
Yeah, they're way under the SWIP requirements. So,
I understand that, but I'm still worried, just concerned, you know, making sure that if we have a good rain, that it doesn't.
We don't have any standing water now in any good rains. We have grown all the way past these lots.
What are the soils like?
Just regular sand, just like the rest of South Coast Falls.
So you're not back into the wetlands with this lot?
No. Back a little farther, there is some wetlands on our property. Flag. State has it flagged. Where this fourth lot ends is about where the main driveway for the preserve entrance is in relationship in a parallel line.
Okay.
Be where the fifth lot ends is about where the driveway fits.
All right. And so the wetlands that are
beyond
but on your parcel, but on what you call lot number six, or what we might call lot
the remaining
six or seven.
They've been flagged?
No, I know it's flagged with the state. It isn't flagged by us. When they did the preserve, they came through and flagged through it. So I know it's the state wetlands, or at least the federal wetlands.
So it's approval, right?
Yeah, just with the commission.
Okay, Ron, just to let you know, our esteemed counsel called up the approving resolution from the ZBA while we were waiting. I'll read it verbatim. Mr. Fitzsimmons' motion to approve appeal number 806 for relief from the town road frontage requirement with a condition that there be a maintenance covenant provision easement added to the deeds of all involved parcels, and that that information also goes on the plat. And that was the only, and that's what we typically do anyhow.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
I emailed it to you.
And that, back to those two proposed lots, that is for those two proposed lots, that, that rule in there?
Yes.
So did the other two lots already have a prerequisite, or were they?
I don't know how these...
The two other lots, what I would call lots two and three, how old are those lots?
About 25 years. My grandmother's house was probably 25 to 30 years.
Yeah.
Mine was in 92, and yours is in when? When did you build your house?
94.
Did you get approval from the ZBA to do that?
At that time, it wasn't required. At that time, none of this was required. We already had a 50-foot right-of-way established from when my parents started this project. And at that time, that's what was acceptable.
Would you like to do next? Would you like to see a public hearing? Would you like to...
Yeah, I see it better. I think we have to do a public hearing. We'll read them off the list of recommended additions to the plan. They incorporate that into the plan.
Yeah, so far I had the ZBA stipulations, but we just heard about that. Details for the private drive showing the width, cross-section detail, and turnaround areas as per the guidance for a driveway of this length. Yep. And then I also made a notation about the water main location. And that's it.
Will we get a better map?
Well, that's a question for us. Do you feel like you need to see topo and template increments, or is that not necessary?
I don't. Personally, given the nature of the property, at least in the area of the subdivision.
Can you give that to me in the form of a...
Well, I'm working.
All right.
I'm also thinking about building setbacks. I'm just curious, what's the front setback to the left?
What's the what, Jim?
Front setback to the north or east?
We would work with the architectural front door of the house.
I wouldn't be opposed to that. I just don't know if that's...
What does the ZBA determine that it's the east?
They did?
No. When they decided that it was okay to share the...
And I'm fine with that too. I just think we should have the setbacks for the lots. So just the line, just the setback lines.
Does the town already have existing setback lines as far as sideline, front line?
It's in the code. We just okay. Have it added.
Wouldn't that apply to the same?
Well, it would, but the front setback is from the road. So we're just
going to decide.
We don't want to do.
I'm just looking to avoid any confusion.
Avenue.
If we put on the map what the building setbacks are, then that's okay. That's all. Nobody has to be confused about what's
going on. Currently, we're about 60 feet from our right of way as our setback. There's also mine as well.
Yeah, I can see you're quite a ways from now. Just for the purpose of things that we like to see on the plan.
Right.
The building, I would think the building setbacks.
Only other thing that might be kind of tricky on us is addresses.
Yes, well, that the assessor's office.
Yeah, we got to make sure we have addresses. So.
I've noticed on the I've heard feedback on the McKenna subdivision. It looked like the letter A. Is that what you heard also?
Yep. But
so who would determine the address?
Right now there are 96 days and A, minus B, and C and D.
If that's the system, that's fine. It just needs to be on the final plat.
Because that's what we have, A and B right now.
And those are very important, again, for emergency services.
That's the common sense. things, but there's people that have been on a shared driveway that don't like to have 96B because they feel like they bought an apartment instead of a house. Okay, but unfortunately, from 50 feet in, you put four houses off a driveway, you end up with these situations. So, you guys are all right with A and B, and that makes all the sense in the world to me. Because you're kind of stacking the houses on the numbers that's on Harrison.
You just have to work that out with the postmaster, and the assessor's got to be aware.
Yeah, we need to have it on the final. Okay. Also, Jim, you talked about identifying the location of the main.
Yes.
And then we'll refer to Jesse for review then, or how do we want to?
Usually the surveyor can pick that up.
Yeah, we have a standing valve line right in front of each of our
right.
But you also talked about adding hydrogen, right?
Well, I'm going to. It's something that I would like to do if I can do it without having to increase the size of the main.
And I think you would have.
I think we got to leave that as an open item pending Jesse's review.
Yeah,
that's fine. How about an actual referral to fire?
Yes. Yep.
Well, Jared and I were discussing if there is some form of wetlands on lot 6 and they have been noted by DEC, then maybe we should also have it on the site plan.
And just show it where it is. I think that's probably not a bad idea.
Okay.
For future reference on it.
The property to the rear of what we don't. So this here section here, is there a property over here behind, facing the, I would say the north side?
South side. Is there a property right there where that angle line comes across?
Yeah.
That's where my property ends.
I understand, but who's the property on the other side?
I don't. I probably Skimmerhorn. He owns everything else.
Should that, I think that should be noted, Jim.
I think that he bought that section. Right. This is mine. This is Jim Moore's. I'm not sure. Right here, but since I don't know. Okay. I know it was up for sale.
All right, I've got seven items, including the ZBA stipulation that we already know about. So six.
Just different mail. They have just mailboxes out on Harrison.
Yeah.
It's actually the direction they want us to go in the subdivision, too. It's just a box out by the main road. I was curious. I assume that the Postal Service is going to be
They don't. I mean, if there's a big box or something like that, they drop it at their house. But we all have mailboxes.
They won't. The post office won't drive back in there.
Jim, I'm coming up. I'm not sure if you guys do have a farm.
Okay, here's my seven. Let's see, ZBA stipulations is one, and then two is details of the private drive, and then I've got several subsections under that, width, cross-section detail, and a turnaround area. And then three is the water main location with an inquiry about a potential hydrant. Four is the lot setback shown. Five is referral to fire and EMS. Six is pick up the wetland flags. And show them on the plat, and then seven is show the property over to the south.
And the addresses.
Yep, addresses would be eight.
All right, now we're through the
board. Anything further?
Let's see anything I put on.
Do those make sense to you?
Yes, that's what you guys want. It would make us very happy.
If you want to come in and see me again to just clarify these, I'd be happy to do it. I usually give people like a
punch.
I give people a punch list to work from, and then they can make sure they don't miss anything.
Thank you.
Thank you. I don't think any of that.
All set?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, just one other question.
Can you on the set?
I guess that's a question. Mr. Hayden.
Sir.
for the other was a nagging. Well, no, for the items that we just rattled off,
yes.
What kind of turnaround time do you think you would need to try to make those?
As soon as I can get an opportunity, I will get in contact with him.
Yep.
And we will get
a I'm in tomorrow morning 9 to 1, and then I'm in Thursday afternoon 1 to 4. Or you can call me. So either way. Okay.
Either me or my wife will get in contact with you.
That's fine. Would you like to have the board consider a public hearing date?
There's a public hearing that has to happen because of the conversation. So that everything is tentatively, if you make all the changes, whatever you do, it'll be a public hearing.
Okay.
So what they're asking me is how long do you think it would take me to, change the map?
I have a feeling with the holidays and stuff coming in that
because when do you need to see it by?
December 2nd, right?
Well, yeah, we have to have by the first Wednesday of, or the first Monday of either month, so whether it's
December 2nd.
Yes, that's only 2 weeks.
Yeah, so
Thanksgiving next week.
Why don't we shoot for
first of the year?
So that'll be the 4th or schedule of January public hearing?
Well, we'll hear back another day without and then we'll go from
there. Okay.
Just to let you know that the January deadline would be January 6th and December would be the 2nd.
January is later because we need a family week.
Oh, that's right. You're right. I'm sorry.
It'll be like the
13th then for January.
That's the date that you need to hear from me by?
No, to have all the material back in and submitted.
Okay. Now, at that meeting, in this three-step process, can I consolidate those two steps? Or
You can ask for a waiver from the three steps and ask if the preliminary and final be combined.
Barring any huge controversy, I can't imagine it being too much difficult to waiting the extra steps. So,
well, before you do that, we probably should have another motion to reschedule our January and February.
We can do that in December.
Well, you're getting ready to make a motion, though. Now
I'm fine with that. I'll talk to him. He'll give me all the dates. I don't.
Yes, I will.
We can schedule
happy
it in
to.
December.
We can schedule it for our potential board meeting.
Whatever we choose for.
My head is
closed. We can schedule it for the January planning board meeting.
There
just
you
leave
go.
It at that.
There you go. Seven.
I think I'm getting ready to receive a motion for the January 2020 planning board meeting for the town of Monroe for the Anthony Havens.
So the
sketch plan.
So moved.
Second. Motion by John. Second by Mike. It's not too controversial. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Shelton Kerr. Motion carries.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen.
Good night.
Thank you. Thank you.
Enjoy the holiday.
You too.
Thank you. Our next item of business is a public hearing for the Garden Condon subdivision on Hatcher Road. Hello, sir.
Hello.
Would you like to give us an overview of who you are and what it is you're looking to do with this project?
I'm Matthew Webster of the Indigenous Cities Land Surveyor. We're here representing Mr. Conley. This is our plan that was suggested from you guys as the final plan. We put together a SWIP. We had that approved by Matt Daniel already. And then the only difference between this map and the last map is we suggested a few property lines. We kept acreages the same to keep everything within compliance. The property lines were more to go with the natural flow of the land.
And then you also did some work to identify
identify the wetlands that were flagged as well as the wetlands that were cut back?
Yes, we located the actual flags as flagged by the DEC. And we've shown that all the properties have plenty of buildable area beyond that 100-foot buffer.
Jim, was there anything further that you were waiting to receive from Mr. Webster?
No, I think that's a pretty good summary. They've done a lot of work since the last meeting, and I think this is pretty much set to go. We would have that same address thing. You know, you have to take care of that. So. Other than that, though, I think this is in pretty good shape now. We did get the it's not a full blown SWIP, didn't need to be. So it's an erosion and sediment control plan that was prepared by a licensed engineer, and then Matt did the review of it as a stormwater officer and found it to be compliant. So I think all the conditions or items that we talked about at the October meeting have been addressed.
Questions for Mr. Webster? No? Sure.
For a blank box, would you state the number of lots in the subdivision?
Yes, this subdivision consists of 4 lots.
All right. With that, we'll go ahead and open the public hearing. And I will ask if anybody has a question where they'd like additional detail from the applicant for this proposal, either with a concern about what's proposed or in favor of the project. Could you please state your name and your address for purposes of our record keeping? We'll also ask that throughout the course of the discussion that we maintain a sense of decorum. So with that, we'll go ahead and open it up. For anybody that has a question of the applicant for the comments of the board, any further questions before we?
And I do have confirmation that the subdivision signs were placed for the public hearing. Actually, they were placed twice because the first set, I understand, got stolen. So it was nice of them to replace them. And they did place them on both roadways, too. They did it at Hatchery Road and Selfridge.
I would like to commend the applicant and the engineers for their work to make sure that they have access attachment to public roads with all the lots. Thank you. It's really, I gotta say, lot number 4 is a bit more creative than I even thought of, but I appreciate that, so thank you for that. We have the shared driveway paperwork, the legal stuff on that.
We put that right on the map, actually, in the upper right corner.
Yeah. Oh, so I'm not looking at your corner.
I have smaller copies if you'd like.
I that. Language.
I don't really need to look at it. We got legal look at it, but I just wanted to make sure we had a copy of it.
No, I gave him that language.
Awesome.
We took that exact paperwork.
So you'll be okay with it.
I think I'll all right.
And we have the detail on the driveway, the turnaround is shown.
How long did the driveway end up being in the end to get back to lot 2?
That is an end that I don't have right now.
It's shorter than it was before.
Yeah, it's
not that important. I just thought we might have that number because we were worried about how far it was before.
That was probably the amount I put in the
right
turnarounds. Yeah. All right, and as is customary, Peter always likes to ask one final question of anybody before we close up the public hearing to see if anybody has any concerns of an environmental nature. If he would say, is it company glow in the dark.
And that's methane gas from the
right. All right. Hearing nothing, we'll go ahead and close the public hearing. And with that, we'll move into the environmental assessment.
No, I reviewed it. I thought it was in order.
Mr. Bouchard?
Yes.
Mr. Antis?
Yes.
Mr. Arnold?
Yes.
Mr. Bergman?
Yes.
Mr. Shaver?
Yes.
Mr. Jensen?
Yes.
Chairman?
Yes. Motion carries. All right, board. You're going to do next for the North Branch Brook.
There was a request for the waiver of the final application. I think that should be incorporated in your decision. Okay. Combining the preliminary and final.
Tonight?
Yep.
I would need that. Yes.
Make a motion that we waive the requirement for another separate meeting to be final approval in the subdivision.
For the motion for us to waive the requirement for separation of 30 days between preliminary and final approval, I have a motion by
there seems to be very little controversy, and at this point, meets all of our requirements.
More controversy and meets all of our requirements.
Yes, sir.
Any further discussion? Would you call the roll, please?
Mr. Bouchard?
Yes.
Mr. Antis?
Yes.
Mr. Arnold?
Yes.
Mr. Bergman?
Yes.
Mr. Shaver?
Yes.
Mr. Jensen?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Michelle. Agreed. Motion carries. We had a couple of items. We had a couple of items on your list, I think, Jim, that we wanted to make sure laid out the final draw. Do you have?
Yeah, I have addresses. As
addresses?
Yep. And we'll need the signature box provided for the chair and another member. But other than that, I think the plat's in pretty good shape.
Did you hear that, Ben? Yes.
Anything else?
And I would, Matt, I'd start on those addresses right away if you can.
Yeah, no problem.
Because it's we have a new assessor, and this will be another tricky one, I think. That the addresses are shown would be on the final plat.
A motion by Eric, second by Mike. Any further discussion? No.
Mr. Bouchard?
Yes.
Mr. Antis?
Yes.
Mr. Arnold?
Yes.
Mr. Bergman?
Yes.
Mr. Shaver?
Yes.
Mr. Jensen?
Yes.
Chairman?
Yes. Shall concur. Motion carries. You already had a motion prior to that. All right, you're almost there. Anything else, board, you'd like to do with this?
Make the motion for the chairman or whatever does the board sign the final motion.
I have a motion from Eric, the chairman, one other member signed the final motion. Also presented by the second.
Second.
Second by Jerry. Any further discussion? Not too controversial. All in favor, aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carried. I think we did it. Anything else? All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
They just left, three. Yeah. So, Chairman, it looks like you're taking an unofficial break.
Yeah, I guess I'll wait. I just need to get some papers. I'll make that.
bunch of different reasons.
I'm going to have a letter. We have a letter. We have 10 minutes.
Not even.
Jim, it's wonderful. The way you've got everything on the website for tonight's meeting. Everything's right on the website. It's fabulous. I appreciate that.
Thank Kathy.
I've been telling them since 2012.
Well, we're going to start requiring next month that we get a thumb drive.
Absolutely.
I think it's a nickel.
Right. No, I think that's brilliant. Yeah, well, they have to give it to you by PDF. They have.
I would accept an email, but I want it electronically so I can post them.
Well, I think you have to have it like that. So then all they have to do is take that, put that right on the...
Okay. We've changed the application form. So starting in December, it's right on the application form. I think I'll tell the board about that at the end, too. So they see anybody out in the community, people approach them.
All right. Our next item of business is the Rich McDermott and James D. Farm Brewery. And this is a revised site plan review from our October meeting. So with that, we'll add a brief update and our conversation from there.
I'm trying to remember the name.
My name is Teresa Baker. I'm here tonight from the Love Firm of Whiteman, Austin, Indiana, representing the Zubs and Rachel Westman. Mr. Zub, Bob Zub, is here with us tonight as well as the property owner. And of course, Dominic is here to go over the changes to the site plan that were made at the request of the board. So, most importantly, earlier today, we got a letter from the Department of Ag and Markets. And the entire letter is relevant, but most important, it says, it's the department's understanding that the town is reviewing the site plan application and deferring its decision on whether the retail sales is allowed in the M2 zone until our department makes its determination, while at the same time it's taking the position that our review of this issue is premature. The department, when reviewing local restrictions pursuant to an AML 305-A1, evaluates the local laws written and as administered, and the department may review a municipality's administration of its local law and determine whether the administration itself has applied to a particular farm operation is unreasonably restrictive. A review of the zoning code indicates that all uses in the M2 zoning district require site plan approval, and the department has found that streamlined site plan review, as outlined in the department's guidelines for review of local zoning and planning, is not unreasonably restrictive when applied to a farm operation. And I would refer you to the guidelines for definition of what constitutes streamlined site plan approval. According to the information submitted, it appears that town officials have previously indicated to the farm operation that the only way to comply with existing zoning is to request a PUD. In the department's view, a farm operation and associated activities within an ag district established by the county, Saratoga County, are priority permitted use, not non-conforming uses. While the department generally recommends that farm operations exhaust their local administrative remedies, the department does not require a farm operation to seek a special use permit, use variance, or in this instance, a PUD for a protected activity. Furthermore, the town's M2 use regulations, to the extent that it prohibits retail sales as applied to a farm operation located within an ag district, is unreasonably restrictive and a possible violation of AML 305-A. So, when we were last here, we had given you an example of a letter that Ag and Markets had given to another farm operation in another town. So tonight we have with us this letter, and I see you all have it in front of you, which is great. So the point we're making here is the farm brewery is an allowed use in the M2 zone, and to the extent there's no clear direction in the zoning code, as Mr. Martin determined, that a retail sale or tap room is allowed under the state agriculture market law, it is allowed. So we just wanted to get that on the record. We also have similarly a letter from the Farm Bureau that supports farm breweries. And I just want to give that to you, Chairman, if I could. We also have a letter from another prominent brewer in the area, Common Roots, in support of the project and the economic benefits it will bring. There's a lot of information available on the web, which we have not printed out, showing that farm breweries, particularly farm breweries in conjunction with other craft breweries, do bring a lot of economic benefits to an area, and they also benefit each other in terms of proximity. So we also have tonight a letter in support by the brewer and brewing professor, also located in Saratoga Springs. We got that one. Awesome. And last but not least, Rachel put together a change.org petition in support of the project, and there are over 700 signatures in favor, and we'll leave that with you as well. Lastly, you had last time asked us to fill out the short form environmental assessment form, and we were agreeable to doing that because we understand that you want the information, although we believe strongly that the type 2 action under the criteria that have been established by the state and expanded recently for seeker type 2 actions. In the short form environmental assessment, it indicated that there were potential historic properties present. So we immediately contacted the State Historic Preservation Office, and we obtained a letter from them, which says as follows. Thank you for requesting the comments to the Office of Parks, Recreation, and Historic Preservation on behalf of your client. We understand the project is undergoing local review as part of the community seeker process. Based on this review, it's OPRHP's opinion that no historic or archaeological resources that are listed in or eligible for inclusion in the New York State or National Registers of Historic Places will be impacted by your client's project. So we just wanted to make sure that we address that up front with the agency that keeps all the records. So in addition to this information, we've also submitted two letters by CT Mail. One is the November 4th letter responding to Mr. Martin's comments and the comments of the Planning Board, and a November 12th letter addressing the use of groundwater for the brewery. And I will let Dominic address those. I would just like to say that in the event the board intends to require a public hearing for this application, we would just respectfully request that you set it for the next meeting.
Thank you.
Just one thing I want to clarify in regards to that, some of those opening remarks in terms of the PUD determination. That was back when there were other elements to this project that clearly were not covered under ag-related uses in the Section 305. This was, you know, this again, for the record, this project has gone through an evolution, if you will. There's been several iterations of this with several varying elements. And the current configuration we have before us does appear to qualify under the 305 ag-related uses, but the prior project, there were elements of that that clearly did not. And the PUD guidance was offered as an assistant, an assistance to the applicant in trying to work through the local approval process. I just want to be clear about that. That was offered as help. Just to be clear.
If I might just, as a note to the board, mention the fact that I actually am a member of the Saratoga County Farm Bureau Board, This came in front of our meeting within the last week. I did not participate in the discussions of this project. I did not participate in the vote or decision of what would be in the letter, so as to remain clear for this board.
The letter that John is referring to, and at some point we had a conversation with him about all of the letters that you received, both.
Yeah, I just want to do a quick tally in that regard, too, to update the board. By my count, since our last meeting on the 21st of October, I've received 8 letters. I'm not going to characterize them. It's not my job in terms of whether they're in favor or against. And I've gotten 3 emails, mostly by virtue of what you have received as board members, and you were kind enough to forward on to me, and I've made them part of the electronic record. All this stuff is part of the electronic record on the town server, and it's also part of the hard copy file, so all those things are there in the event people want to see them. And we did get one FOIL request for correspondence between the town and the state, and we did provide the information that we had gotten, but I did not, that came after we got this letter today. So it was not inclusive of the letter we got today, which you all have a copy of, because the FOIL request predated the receipt of this. So,
and the several letters that Ms. Baker presented tonight, will they be included?
Oh, yeah, definitely. The applicant stuff always is. I think it would be worthwhile if we could hear from the applicant about going through the November 4th, you know, comments that we had made from our last meeting and their responses in some detail, just so we can get up to date where the status is. So, but that's the update on the correspondence that we've gotten.
All right, thanks. Before we dive into that, I was going to ask Carla if you wouldn't mind taking a moment to speak in regards to the letter that we received today as well. Do you feel that we had a good portion of that was essentially read into the record tonight? Do you need me to read the full letter? Or
no. Mr. Chairman, I don't think it's necessary to read the full letter. The letter that we received this afternoon from Ag and Markets, basically, as Teresa stated, indicated that the retail sale that is being proposed by the applicant is something that is considered a farm operation. And so Ag and Markets, as we've discussed in the past, preempts local municipalities in certain respects. And when you go through a 305A process, as the applicant did, and you request them to look at your code to see whether your code unreasonably restricts a farm operation, Ag and Markets did find by this letter that the code, since it doesn't allow retail sales, and Ag and Markets deems a tap room retail sales, that should be allowed in the zone. And so Jim's original determination, saying it's not in our it's not allowed, but it may be preempted. So what do you say, Ag and Markets? We say it's not allowed, but you're the state and you preempt us sometimes. And the state came back today and said, we preempt you, Town of Truro, and therefore the retail sales is allowed in here. You know, I take a little issue with some of the way this is written, especially with the PUD portion. I don't think that they got it correct personally on that. But ultimately, they made the decision that the use of the tap room, as presented in the application before this board, isn't allowed use in the zone. Does that help?
Perfect. Okay. Thank you. Hello. Attorney?
Yes.
So I'm going to start with the November 4th response letter. Go through. For the purposes of recording, could you tell us who you are?
Dominic Rico with GT Mill Associates.
We issued a letter November 4th responding to Jim Martin's zoning administration's comments from board and his board and other comments, I believe. First comment was, the soil type of drain should be discussed, particularly along the eastern segment of the access drive. This is the eastern portion. I'm not sure, I believe, because of the grading and everything that was going on there. The soils here, we've done the test. Our response to this was the soil types for the site is a type A soil, which is pretty much a sandy, very well-drained soil. We also performed deep hole tests over here where the leach field did percolation test. Percolation test was conducted
resulted in 1 to 5 minute percolation, and we concluded based on the soil conditions found at the site is our opinion that existing soils are more than adequate for on-site wastewater disposal and drainage. Next comment is there appeared to be some slope to the cutting in the access drive. The need for retaining wall slope stabilization should be discussed. Our response is the access drive for the project has been designed not to exceed 10%, and that's just in this little area right here. It's about where it's about 8.5%. Everything else is under that. Grading that is necessary to provide driveway profiles contained within the property limits and is more than acceptable for standard motor vehicles, including deliveries and emergency vehicles. Again, our property line is over here, so that shows the limits of our grading, the catch lines, and the limit of our tree line that would be taken after grading. Also, in pursuant to design standards, there is no need for retaining walls, but we are going to propose a split rail fence along the edge of that just as a protective measure, probably 5 to 7 feet off for things like snow plowing and just to keep people on track. But it's not necessarily guide rail fence, just a guidance to go up and down the driveway. The side slopes in here are 1 and 3, actually 1 and 4 here, which is more than acceptable to maintain the mode. Next comment, electrical utility overhead lines have shown means for access and power demand should be discussed. The approximate well location is shown and should be confirmed. Also is the well for the dwelling and the brewery. Well flow rate and water drawdown rate should be discussed to confirm adequate supply for the uses proposed and make sure drawdown does not affect supply to neighboring properties. The second letter that we mentioned on November 12th addresses that in more detail, but the well is existing and has been located by survey. Granted, the power demand is available for National Grid and is adequate to supply the demand needed for the project. Well location is shown on location of drawing, which I have down, I believe it's right here. A well quantity qual test will be undertaken on November 5th, and it was. The well that was here has been tested. It had flow. It had enough flow for the brewery itself portion of it. The one section that did not provide enough storage and enough time was the cleaning process that the brewery goes through, which is basically about a 3,000 gallon amount of water, not all at once, but over the period of the cleaning process. So based on the well demand and flow and yield, it leveled off at about 2 gallons per minute. There was a constant flow, so it'll never be below that, always have water. But the initial flow rate was about 8 gallons per minute, which is basically the storage and all that. So, and that ran for a few minutes before it actually went down to 2. I think it was over 30 minutes before it actually got down there. Excuse me. So basic operation of turning out faucets, restrooms, things like that should have no problem with demand. The brewery itself, though, cleaning of the brewery, using 3,000 gallons of water, will provide a storage tank for that, which is not atypical anyway, in order to have immediate access to water, and that will recharge itself over time in the night when the brewery is closed. It will be more than sufficient time to do that. We provided drawdown curves and yield curves to the town in the November 12th letter. And there's further explanation in that letter about the type of well. It's 281 feet deep. The static water elevation is the water sitting in the well before anything's drawn is at 70 feet. There's 225 feet of casing. The well itself is just sitting just below a shell layer. That's why it's really a little bit restricted to the 2 gallons per minute. In our opinion, should be no issues with the water supplying the tap room for the brewery. Next comment, on-site septic for the brewery and tasting room, tavern is indicated, and sizing is in consideration of the volume of type of proposed discharge should be detailed. The septic for the existing dwelling is not indicated. It is the intent to use one
system are both the dwelling and the brewery tasting room. Will there be public restrooms and tasting rooms? If so, have these been factored into the sizing? Yes, to all those questions. Again, we did size it over here. The brewery, the design for the absorption fields for the brewery employees, and the people that are in there for the restrooms and everything like that, we estimate about 960 gallons per day. So this leach field has been designed for that size. The plans have full design detail on it. This has been designed for that area and located there. This is where the perk tests were done. My response, the new absorption field is for the brewery only. The existing dwelling will utilize this existing system. There will be a restroom and tasting room, and will be factored into the design demand. Plan shows design demand and absorption field sizing. Total project demand is 960 gallons per day. Next comment was signage locations. Signage locations, too, are shown, but rendered elevations of signage may be advantageous in advance of preparation of formal sign permit applications. Signs being proposed will be done in accordance with the town committee requirements. The two proposed signs are monument signs. We propose one at this location and at this location here. The signs will be landscaped with annual plants and flowers. I don't have a picture of that in front of me, but we did submit an elevation of it. There's no words on it, it was just a board, but I mean, pretty much something similar to that was a sign that Rachel liked, and she had four or five different ones, but that was one that we felt suited to the need for that area, which is a basic pole sign. Next comment was two exterior pole lights are indicated. Any further needs for illumination, wall mounted additional pole lights should be determined. Fixture types and illumination levels should be indicated. We didn't add any more poles, but we did show some of the wall packs on the buildings. We also did provide photometric detail of the lights on the drawings that indicate basically where the pole lights are. There won't be any more than 1 foot from the 50 foot from the center line of the poles. This width of the parking lot here is 60 feet, just in reference to my reference. So this basically a rounded area here and here, just an illumination for the patrons at night. Next comment was building size and location is indicated. Points and type of entry are not indicated. They do have a floor plan submitted as well on the brewery that shows public access points. Again, they're then provided the only, again, the brewery itself or the tasting room itself will have an access door and probably have another access door to the patio area. The rest of it will be access from the inside for the workers for the brewery itself. Next comment, landscape plan is not provided and should be discussed. The landscape plan has been provided in the ground cover and area trees located within the development area only. Trees and planters with seasonal plantings have been added to the sheet. Sheet C101, which is this sheet. So there's some planters here, which are indicating citrus trees in here. This dark line is what we propose to be. It's left as a tree line. Most of it's existing except for down here. The tree line kind of comes over like this now. But they do, there are some stuff down, so we're not really taking many trees out at all. It's mostly all the problem, like brush to begin with. There are really big harvesting type trees in there. And everything up here is fully admired, as you can see in the pictures that we have there. We have provided the landscape here, too. And more detailed grading plan, erosion control should be discussed. We did provide a full detail on erosion control plan. I have it on here. I don't have it posted up. I do have a copy of that. But we're doing a created area just for protection as a notice to provide an erosion mat that's built right into the side slope. That'll be grass.
and be able to maintain, support any erosion that might happen during the course of stabilizing the grass. Once it's stabilized the grass, there shouldn't be really any erosion going on at all, just standard runoff. There's not a lot of runoff. Most of it just runs right down to this area here, which is what the site does now. Doesn't run off site really, but it's on this area here now. And with the sandy soils, it pretty much absorbs really quickly. The area disturbance should be discussed and confirmed. We did, I believe, a table shows the area disturbance is. I would say this is probably our only area disturbance. Everything else is fairly existing. There's a large concrete area up in here. It's an old barn. There's not really a lot of excessive disturbance. And whatever we're disturbing is moving under an acre. The whole development area, like I said, this is all pavement and everything now. So just kind of, the intent is not to kind of rip it all up and put a bunch of new asphalt in. It's kind of utilizing the existing soils and conditions that are there. It's more like we just place a stone over the top of what's there. Next, two entry points in looping vehicle pattern appear reasonable. Pedestrian movement can be confirmed from the building point of entry. We just agreed and understood what the comment was. There's, I believe we started with these two points here being two access points for loops. Next comment, the volume and type of traffic. Trucks associated with the brewery, patrons associated with the tasting room should be further detailed. Traffic analysis should be performed to at least establish trip generation and anticipated traffic levels at Cheap Line. Looking for a brewery, a tasting room, not really a brewery, but for a tasting room, there is no basic trip generations for those as far as determined by ITE, which is the Institute of Traffic Engineers, which is pretty much the standard everybody uses for. They do multiple hundreds of different counts and trips for different types of facilities, but they try to keep the same. The book is this thick because it will be a brewery or a tasting room with 50 seats, then it'll be a tasting room with 100 seats, so they have all different variations of those rooms. The closest thing I could find was a winery, which is basically a tasting, which is the same idea. They walk in, wash, and they buy wine, not buy wine, and then they leave. There's no foods, there's no. We're not talking a winery where it has restaurants. It's a pure winery like the size of this room, just like the tasting room would be. So, based on that, there, the peak generation retreat was Saturday seemed to be the highest peak. And we came up with a peak hour, about 54 cars. Now, those 54 cars we look at are cars entering and exiting. They're not 54 coming and 54 going, 54 total. As is the, when you look at the high, the peak for the hour, peak hour is between 1 and 2 p.m., according to ITE for the winery. What I could find that wasn't documented information was actually a little bit less for this, for a tasting room, for a brewery, but it was only like 10 cars. Less different. It was in that 45 range. But it wasn't documented. I couldn't document it. This I can document from IT standards. There's charts. There's standardized way the traffic counts are made. So 54 was the biggest traffic trip. I haven't generated which direction. I'm guessing most of the direction will go go west. But there will be a portion of those that will go east along Old West Road as well. If you have any specific questions about that, it's kind of, there's a lot of detail in getting those numbers, but basically that's the numbers that were presented this time.
Let me go ahead and finish it up, and we'll come back.
Parking is shown, exterior parking needs in consideration of proposed use should be discussed in further detail. My response was currently there's no expansion or need for additional parking. The amount of parking shown is more than adequate for the size and capacity of the tasting room for the brewery. We feel we have more than adequate parking, but we can discuss that further. Loading area for the brewery, for the delivery of raw materials for brewery, and the distribution of beer food should be discussed. The loading area is right here, this little shaded area there. My response was the loading area is shown in the diagram. Materials will be brought to the brewery in a pickup truck on pallets. I don't believe they're planning on having an excessive amount of material there for storage. They're going to have what they need for brewery, minimizing their storage capacity using it on site. Next comment, exterior lighting is illustrated to a minimal level. Approved detail should be presented in consideration of uses. Yeah, I explained that before. We do have shown on plans. We have a particular light that was, I want to say it was 12 feet, 16 feet maybe, with the pole. It was 12-foot pole, I think, with the extension. But that would be high. It's just an overcast. But again, there's details on the drawing that represent that. It would be no more than 1 foot candle, 50 feet outside of the center of the pole. That was basically all the questions. And the other letter from November 12th was the form of expansion on the water well testing, what we came up with. Very briefly again, the well, we did the test on November 5th. We established a flow rate between 2 and 8 gallons per minute. The static elevation produced a higher flow of 8 gallons per minute, and the 2 gallons per minute was established. Once the static level was reached the bottom of the well casing, 2 gallons per minute was established as a constant flow where with no additional drawdown from the well. I made a comment here about the quantifying the storage. 3,000 gallons, just as an example, 3,000 gallon tank was empty, 2 gallons per minute. It would take approximately 25 hours to fill it back up, assuming it was fully used. But it's in the opinion that an actual operation of the brewery was showing me about 2,2500 gallons needed to fill the tank back up, or 16 hours to 20 hours, depending on the flow rate. For reference, the storage tank is located inside the brewery nearby the crossing.
So, does that mean you expect to use around 500 gallons a day out of that storage tank?
No. We'll use the 3,000, but it's not used over the entire period of time.
Yeah.
So it'll be recharging as it's been used. So they may not use, we need 3,000 gallons, but they may only use 2,500 depending on what they're, there's no guarantee. The brewer wants 3,000 gallons of water cleaned. They want to wash something twice or do something. I don't know, but that was his requirement.
Okay.
So he doesn't actually use all the 3,000 gallons every time either. And I think that would conclude the responses to the letters.
Thanks, Dominic. You also had an update to the project narrative on November 4th. Was there anything that you wanted to point out in that?
Primarily, the old project narrative had on across the top that there was a restaurant to the farmer's table, so that was taken off.
Okay.
So we'll be clear for the record.
Okay. We added hours of operation.
They were added.
The proposed hours for the tap room were Monday through Thursday, 3 to 9, Friday, 3 to 10, Saturday, 12 to 10, and Sunday, 12 to 8. We added traffic information to that, which I already discussed. And we added the site distance to the, which should be 360 feet based on this. The speed and the type of points, and we actually did show it on the, it's a point right here on the plan to go through. This is the site distance park point, 360 feet each way, which we met site distance for traffic based on DOT standards. So the existing driveway that goes into the property is like about 380. So that's where we're going to come up just to the top of that hill. I did add wastewater disposal. I did add something about the adjacent properties being 500 feet. We provided this drawing to the town that shows location of the brewery. The taste room here in this blue circle is 500 feet. So, as you can see, this is the only piece of property crosses. So There is no well within 500 feet of the road. That was our, and I added that to the narrative as well, just describing that.
Do you have any idea what the nearest well would be?
Where?
Yeah.
Well, I'm assuming one of these people over here have wells right here. So okay. probably another 300, probably 800 feet or so. There's nothing over here. I mean, this is definitely about 1,500 feet away, as these are. So this is probably the closest one over here. And I think that we added, I don't think that's about all we added in the area that modified.
So if there was a need for fire suppression, then that would be above and beyond the 3,000 gallons?
Yeah, if we were required to have a fire, but probably in a place like this, we would have sprinklers that would feed up 3,000 gallons, which would be more than enough to fire, if we had to do that, if the fire department required it. That would be a building code.
That's a local determination then?
That's mad about that one.
But that would be above and beyond. So that would be one pull on the 3,000 gallons, the storage tank.
Is
where it would be coming from, I think.
For a typical fire flow, you need 2,000 gallons per minute, 2,000 gallons per an hour. At I forget what it is, like 200 gallons per minute, something like that, I think you need. There's different rates to do that, but if this would be a building code.
No, I'm following it. I think where I'm losing, I'm not asking my question correctly. Would we need an additional storage tank above and beyond the 3,000 gallons for fire storage?
Not in my opinion, no.
All right.
So again, I think that would have to go with our code, the town code.
No, I
write that in.
What's that?
Would that be town code, whether or not it would be?
Yeah, well, I think either between Matt or the fire chief, we'd have to determine what the need would be. You know, I'm sure the state building code will speak to it. We have to ask Matt, and then it'd be a probably good idea to check in with a local fire chief.
I need to clarify that, okay? I think what Donna was referring to is the the well is in the confines of a former barn area. Okay, so it's not inside a paddock or where there's horses or animals currently. But it's just outside the former holding area for the dairy.
But in our site, that's in the area.
So it's not in the.
I just want to go back for the purposes of a record and have a name associated with the last comment, please, sir.
Jim Zub.
Jim Zub. What was your address, sir?
It's 180 Old West Road or Beckett.
Yeah, I mean, the well is located just inside that.
If I can, I think I can address the question. The Department of Health regulates the use of water for this purpose and will meet the Department of Health requirements with respect to testing and everything else. So, and we understand your concern. That was certainly a terrible thing that happened. The good news here is it's a bedrock well. It goes down 280 feet. So we're very confident that we'll be able to meet the Department of Health requirements.
Thank you. Jim, did you have any further comments or needs for information?
I'm no expert on water drawdown and what was presented. I don't know, if you feel comfortable with what's presented on its face, or if you want to have, potentially some third-party review of that, in terms of, because it's beyond my expertise to do that. So if you want to get any reassurance of the flow and all that, and I don't think it's so much what I heard out of the public comments or saw in the public comments as they come in. It's not so much the flow as it is potential impact to the water table, and the overall aquifer and things like that. This constant draw. It may be fine. I just don't have the expertise to tell you that.
We would really prefer not to do a hydrological study on the bedrock aquifer that's present there. I mean, one of the reasons why we showed you the distances to the other wells is to establish the very great distance between our well and the nearest potable well, which appears to be over 800 feet. So there's no reasonable belief that our well is going to have an impact on those wells. Plus, we've added the storage tank so that we can have a drawdown over a period of time where you don't have any sudden ups and downs, which has also helped even things out. But this is a bedrock well. I'll tell you, as somebody who's done this for 30 years, there is no study that we can do that says, what the bedrock aquifer is. What Dominic did is what the Department of Health requires, which is a pump test and a drawdown. And we're happy to share that with the Department of Health and get a letter from the Department of Health if you would like that. We would really prefer, not to spend thousands of dollars.
And I'm going to say as a member of the board that it would appear to me that if you don't have enough water to run your brewery, that's your problem. We don't see that as the town's problem. I can see it's an issue. If there's some concern, you might draw from other people's wells. If that well is 280 feet, you're probably already above most of everybody else's wells in the neighborhood, if everybody else is drilled also. My personal experience out in that neighborhood is you either have a spring, which is a God blessing, or you have a 2-gallon-a-minute vertical rock well. Okay. If you run out of water, drill another hole. That's pretty much for you. I can't imagine. I know in my neighborhood, right across the North Way, if somebody leaves their water on, their water goes gray. Okay, if they leave it on long enough, my water might go gray, but I'm about 100 feet below them. So,
Board, you've heard a concern raised by Jim. You've also heard some response from Teresa. Thoughts from John? Any additional thoughts on the?
I have some. I agree with Jim that the second party, maybe our town engineers, could review the pump curve in the paperwork.
Yeah, I'm not suggesting a full, geological study be done. I'm just looking for some third party confirmation of the analysis that was done, the assumptions made, or whatever. I'm not looking for a geological undertaking here. The second thing I'll say is that the traffic, trip generation is one aspect of traffic. Again, and then I'm just conveying what I read out of the comments. You know, there's a concern over the health and safety of the traveling public. It's not necessarily a volume issue, as I read it. You know, so...
Jim, do you mean by health and safety the concept that, you know, people may drive drunk because there's clearly...
That's what I gleaned out of the comments.
Yes, there's clearly a very stringent state law against drunk driving. And people who go to these craft and farm breweries are generally not people who are out there drunk driving. But regardless, that's beyond the control of this board or any board. It's controlled by the state legislature. And I think they just made it even easier to violate that law by decreasing the blood limits for a DUI in the last legislative session. So it's very, this is a public road, and we have 25 vehicles coming in and 25 vehicles leaving. So
I think the nature of Jim's comment, if I could expand upon that, stems more around the source of the information. So we use a winery as our best indication of how a farm-to-table craft brew operation might operate. And I think there's a question around whether that's a logical step or not. And anecdotally, and again, I don't base this on any sound data, but if you look at some of the other craft brew operations in our area, I guess there's a question as to whether a peak traffic generation of 1 to 2 on a Saturday afternoon would match up with what other folks have experienced. So I think there's just some question around the source of the data. And I don't dispute or argue the fact that IPD might have been a little soft on, this actual application. But I think that's where we're at as a board, is that data point. How do we feel about that? That's what this particular conversation is about as well, I think.
Well, I thought Jim said that he was not concerned about the number of trips based on the wages. Okay, all right. So other than the ITE, there is no other recognized acceptable source of traffic data. So, and the reason why they developed the ITE, as you know, is because they have access to all these data about similar facilities all over the place. So, we don't have any ability to go to another brewery and count cars for a week. So I don't know what other data that we could give you. This is really all the data that we have.
Other breweries in this area are also not the same concept. So
sure.
That needs to be taken a little bit into account. Yeah, and
nor is this a winery. So I think that was
I agree. Yeah. I wish they had small farm brewery with a 700-foot tap room. But they don't, If this was, ironically, if this was a regional shopping mall, we could get there, we could get all the numbers, and we'd be done with it. Or if it was a subdivision, we'd know what the numbers are. But this is, we can share with you the ITE manual as it relates to breweries, wineries, whatever. It's all available on Google, I assume. I Google everything. But we can print that out for you, and you can see if you see another number that you like better. But this was just Dominic's best judgment.
Does the ITE manual include bars?
Yes. But they're drinking... Again, they establish everything as an independent way. There might be bars, but there's bars that do this, bars
right.
that do this.
Well, that's what I wondered.
So some are called just drinking establishments.
Right.
Okay, so, but it's totally different. When you read the definition, it does not fall into the same definition as the tasting room. The winery was the best definition of
what... But the reason I'm asking this is we're bouncing, when we're referring to and giving the narrative on this project, we're interchanging the word tap room and tasting room. Tap room, tasting room. With a winery, I'm assuming you're talking about a winery with a tasting room. Because most of the wineries, if you go to Central New York, are not set up to walk in, sit down, and drink wine.
Right.
They're there to taste, and if you like it, you buy retail purchase wine. you take it out of the establishment and go home. Right? It's a general idea. So that's why I think I'm questioning the traffic thing, because you're talking about a winery tasting room compared to a tap room. Now, originally with this project, I thought we were talking about a tasting room. In the last month's meeting, it was referred that we have no real interest in selling off-site. We really want to sell everything on-site. So the retail sales are not as much a bottled product or a canned product, or even a growler might be a possibility in the future. The retail sales proposed as we are seeing at this moment is a retail sale for on-site consumption. To me, I would think ITE would have something under, and I'm not saying this is a bar, I'm saying that might be a category that fits better than a winery with a tasting room. For traffic, for water use, you know, for all of the parking and all of this. Because I've got 35 parking spaces with 45 seats. All right? If this was a family restaurant, you'd have way too many parking spaces. If this is a tap room where people are going to meet their friends, you may have not enough. See where, and so each thing has a thing. I understand that, and that's why ITA makes those distinctions. So,
I understand what you're saying, but there's like I said, there's probably 15 categories for restaurants with bars with restaurants.
Yeah, bars. I'm not talking about restaurants.
But I mean, there's all situated. The bars themselves, actually, they don't call them bars; they call them drinking establishments. But in the definition of how the test was done for that trip generation, for that particular type of facility, they could have done 100 of them, and there's a chart, and they mean out all the averages. It wouldn't meet the same, because this is a literally at a bar, but they have food. Everyone has food. It's pretty much what I thought. Access for food and other amenities in the restaurant. This is just, I don't know, tap room, taste room, but to me is pretty much the same thing. It's maybe a definition. We should start using one and not both.
Sports have a meeting, and I think you should, if tasting is a $5 sample, and maybe you'll get up to four or five samples, and you sample those four or five, that's a tasting. Generally, we're talking at a going to a group or a. So, if that's all you're serving, that's one distinction. Are you serving an 8-ounce, 10-ounce, 12-ounce, 16-ounce glass of beer and charging a fee for that? That would be a tap, at least to my benefit, the way I see it. So, I think you need to say to us, to the public, are we going to be giving out 5-ounce samples, sample, and then sell, purchase something and leave? Or are we going to sit and have 1, 2, 3, 4 drinks of whatever size glass of beer? I mean, I think that needs to be determined.
Now, just to be very clear, because I was at a farm brewery over the weekend.
Okay.
So they do tastings, and they also sell glasses of beer.
So that's what we would expect.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So what
has not been decided by the owner is what size brewing system that she's going to purchase, and two, how many fermenters and how much volume they're going to be going through in a period of
time.
Determines volume of sales, and volume of sales determines trips.
No, there's going to be brewing once a week. That's the plan. And you don't brew it and sell it, brew it and sell it, brew it. So
that's right.
Okay.
So you have to have fermenters to store the beer, right, and let it go through the process, and then available. So what the curiosity question is, what size brewery will this be? Will it be a 3-barrel system, a 5-barrel system, 7, 10, 20? I mean, you have those all, and that determines, and that's all I'm asking, so we don't know that. Is that the question?
Hang on. We may know the answer to that question, but it's not relevant to the traffic that's going to be experienced by the place. That's determined by the number of hours it's open, and what the peak hours are.
Well, if you have a 3-barrel system, ma'am, you don't have and you brew once a week. That's about 200 gallons of beer. And that goes, and if you have an open indication, that's going to disappear quite quickly.
But that's like determining traffic based on the number of closed Macy's sales. You don't do that. You determine traffic based on the ITE numbers, based on the size and the hours of operation. And that's what Dominic did. And I think
But I'm saying, what is the size of the brewery is going to determine the amount of volume that you're going to sell. And right?
But not on any given day.
I'm not bringing that up. I'm trying to understand the volume of beer being made on a weekly basis will determine how many units you need to sell.
No, I don't agree with that at all.
So if you have a 3-barrel system, you need to sell all 3 barrels of the beer.
You don't need to sell it.
Well, she wants to pay her bills.
I understand what you're saying, but what we were talking about was traffic.
I'm not discussing traffic right now, Mel.
To clarify.
Yes.
The brew system is not purchased. The brew system is on local permits. So I can't give you exactly what we're going for, because I'm not getting into a contract with the manufacturer until I know I can afford this business. That's number one. Number two, whether it's a 3, 5, 7, or 10-barrel system, I can brew how many barrels I want at any point in time. So that's a moving target.
I'm trying to say the size of your brewery.
That's irrelevant to this planning board. The size of my brewery, the amount of beer I brew might be, but the size of the brewing system I buy is not relevant. Okay? And to further go along this
so the size
point,
of brewery,
all the beer
how much water you
that we brew is still considered a New York farm product.
I'm not denying that you're making a New York State farm your product. What I'm trying to understand is, by the size of brewery that you put in that building, whatever it might be, will determine A, your sales line, and B, your wages.
So let me bring us together. So where we started this particular conversation was to try to get a better sense or notion of what the trip generation was going to be. We've heard pretty extensively from the applicant where they feel the best source of information lies for this particular business, and that's what the ITD is, I think. And from this board's perspective, you have, I think, two options. You can accept that, and you can move forward with that as part of your review, or you can say, we'd like to have that reviewed independently, which you've done before. You've asked for an independent peer review of traffic or traffic data that's been presented by an applicant to say, yes, it lines up with what you're presenting, or it gives you another perspective. So as a board, would you like to move forward with the suggested trip generation that's proposed with ITD with source? Because I don't, I guess we, beyond that, we're just speculating. We don't really know right, what this is going to generate.
Well, sure, I understand that, but I think the volume they manufacture on premise will directly affect the use of water and how many people they need to come to that place to sell. If they make a small amount of beer, they won't have that much traffic and they won't have that much water use. But if they have a large brewing system or a certain size brewing system, they will use X amount of water based on that system, and because they have that volume manufactured, they're going to want to sell that product.
I understand where you're coming from. Okay. But as a practical matter for a site plan review, I don't know how this board can do that kind of math. I think we would have to rely on what we understand in terms of trip generation, what we understand in terms of the impact on the water.
Trip generation is what will be available for sale.
No, the other thing that will affect trip generation is you have a 700 square foot room here. So That's only got so much capacity. And I think that's going to be a large determinant, regardless of the brewing system. That's the bottleneck to which this is all going to flow.
The other
aspect of traffic here that I've read in the public comments is, again, you know, accident rates and concerns over ticketing and things like that. And I think you know, we need to have a way to drill down to that kind of information to be responsive.
And I think they will do the same. Whether they will have their people properly trained and not serve anybody that's intoxicated, too. But I'm confident that's not going to happen, that there won't be intoxicated people to serve. So, I mean, I'm just more trying to understand, you know, I'm not too worried about them.
I guess my basic point is that this is not going to be the first farm brewery ever proposed in New York State.
There are a lot of
examples that exist out there. With some reconnaissance of those establishments, you can get much better point-on-point information as to, you know, trip generation and things. I mean, if we have a farm brewery somewhere in New York State that's 1,500 feet in square, you know, 1,500 square, you do the math. This one's 700 square feet. So you take it on per 100 square foot basis or something like that. But we start to understand, you know, how are these things, what kind of impacts do they have in real life, in real terms.
But, Mr. Burke, so the production of the product...
That breed, I really don't think that's germane. I mean, I understand where you're going, and you have a background in this stuff with the equipment you sell, and I get that, but I don't think that's...
I accept your answers for it.
So I would just ask this, as the engineer, you're pretty solid on the fact that you think the best IT example you can come up with is a winery. Were they tasting it?
At this time, I have a...
None of the drinking established ones come close to this model.
Not because it's so small. It's such a small... I mean, there's some that are for 10 to 12,000 square feet, but they're not... Again, they have always had that extra amenity in there about food service or within the facility. It's like referring to saying the size of the brewery with a restaurant that has a bigger menu, provide have more people coming in because they have.
No, I understand that. I'm trying to figure something out.
Based on the square footage of the facility, not on what's being produced. That's the way even the restaurants based on seat capacity of the building.
But I guess my point is if you had a tasting room and retail sales, I would actually expect you to have more trip generations. I mean, to be honest with you, you'd have more because you'd have people coming briefly tasting, buying something and leaving, whereas if you're selling it by the glass, people may very well come and enjoy the deck and have a couple of beers or whatever, enjoy company, listen to a guitar player, and then leave. You may actually have a lower trip generation.
Well, remember that there's, I don't know if you're up to 54 I have, which I believe is a high number.
Really,
30, 35, but I don't have anything to gear it towards, so I kept the best closest value that IT would give me at this time to have it. But again, that's a peak hour. Again, if you cut it in half, 25 come in, 25 going out, that's during that hour. There's not only 50 people going to this place during the day.
Right.
All right. So there could be two people the hour before, two people coming out. But it's not a you know, so even there could be
sure. So if there's a small, and if you run out of beer, people won't be, you know, to get reproduced more
well,
beer.
You're not a good business person if you don't have beer.
Well, it's important to realize that she can also market non-site specific farmers.
Sure.
So there's
yeah. It's not necessarily
it's really well. Product. It's just really hard to limit it or say it's
sure.
It's going to be
I believe what I gave you is the best. That's true. I have to give the market a number for traffic that I can at this point.
I think it might be hundreds.
So, to that point, I have a few questions. I was taking some notes, so you may have said the answer. If you did, I apologize for the question. No, he didn't let me upset. Where did that, you got one peak hour. Does that come out of this traffic? So then they determine you get that.
And that is the peak hour. There's other hours that show up, but that is the peak hour.
That's the peak hour. That's right. Okay. You talked about an area for delivery. My understanding is that the farm also produces grains and things that you sell to other breweries. All of that truck loading action, I'm not a farmer, so this may be a dumb question. That occurs somewhere else. It's not going to use these.
It occurs in the fields.
It occurs in the fields. Okay. So they're not the board be exporting off your farm doesn't go through the facility. In the brewery itself, inside the barn, where you're going to have the fermentation tank and all that, you're going to be doing some cleaning. There's going to be like floor drains and things coming out of there. So all that's going into the connected directly to your septic system?
No.
The brewery wastewater is being removed off-site.
It won't be floor drains for the removal of that. It'll go right into tanks.
They go into that. So that stuff goes into... Yeah. So anything that's used to clean the tanks or anything is taken away.
All of the brewing waste is taken away.
Okay.
Where?
That's trucked away.
Where?
Okay.
Where is it taken away?
That answers.
I'm going to get to the public comment and
then answer my question.
Is there a public hearing today?
No, there isn't, but I was going to allow 15 minutes for public comment like we did last time.
I think that was it. That answered my final question as well, so thank you for it.
Order any more for it?
I'm a little concerned about you're going to be trucking waste away. Mm-hmm. But they have a waste truck, a certain type of waste truck permits.
Yep, so we have CDL drivers and tractors, so we can haul. And we currently own two stainless steel tankers to haul liquids. We call soybean oil right now, and we have a tanker truck that's dedicated to that. And actually, when we bought two at the same time. So the other one is free and clean and ready for use.
What's that?
Okay. You're all regulated.
They're 5,600.
So you won't be reprocessing that for feed on site?
We'll remove the spent grains so that we can give them to the farmers around the area. But so the floor will be sloped, so the water will drain away from it into the tank. But farmers can come pick up spent grains if on the right.
So you have permits and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about the brewing thing. It's just I'm picturing the fact that you're having to haul away the waste from the brewing process, but you're treating the cleaning solvents, cleaning stuff in the septic system on site.
No, they don't
that's
have
also
that.
Getting
that's also
getting
away.
Because that would be more of a concern to me than just the leftover spent stuff.
The only thing going through the septic system is like domestic waste. So what you would do in your home, like
right, so
the bathroom, wash your
hand
hands,
washing and stuff.
So you don't
have to have a contract. You're doing that because you have the ways and means through your own equipment. You'd be able to haul the waste away and not have to contract it out.
Correct.
So I'm sorry. This seems like a dead horse, but I meant to actually refer to this in this form. I read the letter from Ag Markets, and I'm obviously aware of Ag District law and the protections it provides. There was kind of a distilled version of this given that Ag Markets approves of this, but I can't find in the letter where it approves of the on sale or on site sale and consumption of the beverages beyond the tasting. So this is why this is new to me because I thought that you set it up, you had a brewery, you did tastings, you sold product, and the tastings were a way of promoting and selling the product. So I was kind of expecting when I heard that the letter said they approved that I must have missed something where it says that yes, the sale and consumption on site for retail sales.
Well,
so is that something I missed? I mean, there's a portion of the page that actually didn't print off.
That's part of the farm brewer's license. If she gets the license, allows her to do those things.
Retail and consumed on site.
The other thing that we provided you, because last time you had asked for it, was the farm brewery license under New York State Liquor
Authority. Yeah, we got an email. I recruited my copy.
Yes.
When did that come?
In the last 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Okay. Early the first 2 weeks.
Here, you can have my copy because heaven knows I print it. That's not a problem.
And as you read through the, it does allow that.
Okay. All right. See, that's why I ask questions.
So that's all. Mm-hmm. Why the questions? Too?
I
don't read that fast, but you can go ahead. Go ahead without me. If I do, I'm not afraid of it. No, you would.
So while we don't have the backdrop of a public hearing tonight, there's plenty of folks that are here from the crowd. I'd like to allow for a few minutes for folks to speak out on behalf of this project. Again, I would ask that folks please state your name and your address for recording purposes, and we will have additional opportunity for public comment should we ever get to the point that we actually have a public hearing.
We would, again, respectfully request that you schedule it.
Thank you. So with that, we'll open it up for public comment. You were first in front.
I'm Joyce Paul. I have a farm at 70 Thomas Road. Some of the things maybe will be behind on, but where will the solid waste go?
We just told you that we were hauling them all safe.
But where also?
To the wastewater treatment plant or other?
Who wants to address these?
Well, as neighbors, we'd like to know. Because we have a waste place in Northumberland, and I'd like to know if they're going there.
Okay, well, as long as it doesn't affect your property, I don't think it's a pleasant thing. Thank you. It's a big hot site.
Well, things like that.
It doesn't.
So I live on Thomas Road, and I am concerned about traffic. I'm concerned about driving under the influence. And I'd like to know if, when the permit is granted, if there will be restrictions that no food be served.
The law permits that we have to serve some amount of food.
There was, at the last board meeting, there was some discussion about food. Under ag and markets law, you probably could cite quicker than I could, Bruce, but it does stipulate some
food under the farm brewery that I just handed to
John. Oh, John has it in his hand.
Right,
I just give it back.
So no.
I don't think
it requires, you know, small quantities of food that's not prepared on premises.
Joyce, so they're applying, this company, these folks, will be applying for a farm brewer license to the state liquor authority. If they get issued that license, that gives them the ability to serve food, as the attorney is saying. So that's how the rules work on that.
I haven't heard any sort of impact on neighbors in terms of neighbors' quality of life, neighbors' agricultural pursuits, and so on.
I don't understand what agricultural pursuits would, how would that affect the neighbors' agricultural pursuits?
Noise, light, consumption of water, waste, traffic.
We talked about traffic, we talked about light.
The lights for this use are not any different than you would typically have in an agricultural facility anyhow. I mean, I know people that have chickens that have as much life as these do, but you know, I think we got to remember too that this is a type 2 action under SEAKER. So we're looking at the site plan criteria that the town has, and we have addressed questions regarding traffic, questions regarding what we're doing with the waste, questions regarding potable water, the Department of Health's regulation of the use of the water in the brewery. So we have addressed all those comments.
Okay. This young lady just behind you.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Oakley. I live at 325 Old West Road. I have significant safety concerns associated with this. I have two small children. My son's bus stop is at the end of my driveway, which, if we're looking at the influx of traffic, during a 1 to 2 o'clock hour, people are consuming alcohol and then driving, and they would have to drive past my house, which then affects my child getting off the school bus and people possibly impaired at that. Not to mention, in the last year, I have had 3 drunk driving incidences that have occurred on my property. One, a person took out a fire hydrant on the end of our property while driving under the influence, and not taking the turn correctly. The second, this summer, someone drove across my lawn, took out my child's playset, crushing their slide, hit a tree on my property, and then fled, attempted to flee the scene while intoxicated. The third one was 2 weeks ago when I woke up, and two of the signs that you guys have up indicating the turn right there were taken out, as well as a set of my bushes. I have accident reports, I have arrest records, and I have photos of the damage done. I've had thousands of dollars done to my worth of damage done to my property without a brewery being down the road. I have children who play in my yard, and this significantly jeopardizes their safety. They are 3 and 5. They should be able to play outside without an influx of traffic, without worrying about people being intoxicated and taking the turn. Had the one accident occurred during a happy hour time, the night before we were out playing baseball with both of my children and my parents, it would have taken them out. So I have significant, significant concerns about this and how the alcohol is going to be regulated. Because I can guarantee you, the majority of people in this room have been overserved by an establishment on at least one occasion. And I don't trust it when it comes to my kids. And they are my priority. And to me, that's what matters.
Thanks. One thing I was going to say in terms of the hours of operation, just the point that you had raised about the interaction potentially during school day, you know, bus traffic. The current proposed hours of operation for the tap room, this is in the narrative from the chief email, was Monday through Thursday, 3 p.m. to 9 p.m., Friday from 3 p.m. to 10 p.m., Saturday from noon to 10 p.m., and Sunday from noon to 8 p.m.
My son's drop off is 3:43, and he has to cross Old West Road to get home. So I literally, right now, without a brewery there, have to stand at the edge of the driveway and I walk into the street to make sure that people are stopping, because that turn is quite sharp. So I'm literally going out into the road to make sure he crosses safely, so there's not cars coming whipping around the corner either way. So it would impact.
The next one was over here. Yes, ma'am.
I've got two things. My question is about it.
And your name was?
Margaret Durka.
Where do you live?
13 McCauley Way.
Thank
and
you.
I have horses on all of them.
No.
Question for you, Dominic. You kept pointing, you have a leach field on the left side, and your parking area was also on the left side. And your septic tank, is that also on the left side? So where is your septic tank? Are cars parking on top of it?
No, septic tank's over here. It's out on the
And your leach field is leaching into what property?
The farm. The farmland. Nobody's property.
And what exactly will be going into this leach field?
Domestic waste, toilets,
water. So solid waste. No, it's the same thing that goes into every septic system. When you flush your toilet.
Right. Solid waste goes into mine.
Right. It's human. Human, it's just regular domestic waste. You don't refer to that solid waste as domestic
waste. Domestic waste.
Yes.
Yes, which is worse than animal waste, cholera and whatnot.
If you say so.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
Okay. But so you're not parking on top of the septic?
No, you can't. It's against rules anyway.
Kept pointing at that marriage. And when I built my house, I had to build 500 feet because I had to have 5 gallons per minute so that I could take care of all the laundry I do. So how is your 2 gallons per minute from the handle of the brewery?
Mm-hmm.
When my 5 gallons couldn't handle my washing
machine. I've already established how we're going to do our gallons per minute. If we have no problem with it.
Because I had to go
5 gallons per minute. A lot of water for anybody to produce.
I had to go per the tap at that time. The Greenville could go 5 gallons, 500 feet out. The other thing was for the board, 305A is it overrides provided there's no danger to the public. 305A kicks in when there's no danger to the public. And you have to have no danger to their health, that would be mental, physical, and emotional health, and safety issues,
and I see a lot of safety issues just because of the road and perhaps the driver, and then the well-being of the residents on the road. If many people go to bed at 8 o'clock, they get up 5 a.m. If you go up and down the road at night, their sleep will be disturbed, and who's to say how that affects their health with that? Sleep disturbed, it can be bad for their health. And as far as farm animals go, a lot of traffic can make them holler, can be skittish, and so forth. So 305A, I do believe, is being violated and that the safety of the residents is not protected.
Thank you. I have the next one over here.
Harvey Stein, 210 Washburn Road. I do question some of the issues of erosion. My question for the board, actually, is have all of you driven by the driveway for this site at night? And to, we just came, that's in fact the way we came this evening. And I'll tell you, I don't think it's a very good spot to have a driveway to go somewhere with that rise there. Not just the rise up as you're going towards Fortsville, but when you're going from on Old West towards 9, you reach that peak and then it drops off. You can't see cars coming up. So I would just urge this board before you make decisions that you drive there at night, possibly after having 2 beers.
I would just like to say that we've shown that the driveway location meets the established DOT requirement for line of sight distances.
And stop.
And stop. Yeah.
The next one was over here.
Sean. Sean Sheeran, depends on when I actually get to move into my house, but currently for a Skylark, I'll eventually be over on Clark Road. One, thank you guys for putting this together. I've been in this town for forever. These are the kind of places that I go to. You're more apt to get overserved at one of Dave's places. I've seen more accidents and more drunk driving come out at Fitzgerald's than you'll typically see at, you know, one of these pacing houses. I don't drink and drive. I have, you know, a friend bring me. They have all these party buses that are now going to these things. This is going to drive business through our town, right? The ability to have, you know, and I forget what teacher's doing it, but the fact that you can buy a ticket on this and it takes you to the 3 different breweries right now, this just increases the ability for a couple more stops. So when you're having your friends all over at, you know, in Saratoga or in Lake George, they'll actually come into our town and spend a little bit more money, right? I think it fits right into the whole thing going in on 32, the little farmhouse stay places, right? The more businesses like this we have that, you know, people are going to stay at these little things, it's going to promote agriculture in our region, right? You know, I'm for it, but they're my piece.
Thank you. Dan Hoppler, 77 Old West Road. You know, it just seems to me that a bar, a pub, a tavern should be down a main street of a town where people are watching it, where there's police, there's regulation, and, you know, but now I've already emphasized this country location on this dark street. You really need to make one trip, turn off your lights for a second, between Northway and Saratoga Road. It is very dark. It's all country. Now, I came from North Carolina, lived there 30 years, and my wife dragged me up here because she graduated Glens Falls High School after 10 years of marriage, wonderful marriage, and we're together now. We finally bought a house in the country. And I said, I even said before, I'm going back up there. I said, what's the temperature? One day I looked, it was 20 below. I said, we're not going up there. But we ended up coming up to this area, wonderful house in the country. And now I hear about this. It's very discouraging to me. But the secluded location, I just see it as a haven for alcoholics. Maybe if I were an alcoholic, if I had some familiarity with alcoholic, I'd want to go to this hideaway place in absolutely country where up a dark road, up a driveway, back in the woods, I can drink all I want. And nobody's going to know. No police are going to come out there. Nobody's going to. My wife's not going to drive by. I'm good. I'm good to go. And I'm just going to lay it. I can drink as much as I want and do what I want. It's just so secluded, so private. The other thing I think is the snowmobile. There's this drag of a snowmobile trailway right through there. Boy, are they going to have fun. They're going to park there just like that place down on Saratoga Road where you see 50 motorcycle bikes. You're going to see the snowmobiles all piled up, gathering there, having a ball. And in the beginning of this thing, I had heard about some parties and having some big events. And I know that's in the back of their mind. So I think the regulations, I don't believe in this, retail should be out in the country. I'm really against that. And I don't think that the concept is going to be exploded as we go on. We're going to meet here with, oh, we're going to do this, we're going to do this, we're going to have a little tasting. Well, now it's alcohol and beer, and now it's food. Where's it going to go from there? It's going to just bloom right out. This is going to bloom to big parties and the bands and noise, and then you're going to have lights. There's going to be lights all over the place. So I just see it as a booming disaster.
So that concludes our 15 minutes. We're going to wrap it up there tonight in terms of the public comment. Like you said, there will be additional opportunity for both concern and support from the public in the future when we get to the point that we schedule a public hearing.
Chairman, the applicant would like to say something.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, you know, we have people here that want to speak on behalf. I think it's only fair that people who support the project
We'll allow one of
them. Thank you. I appreciate it. So I just want to point out, and we've talked about this a number of times, and I think it's no surprise that agriculture in New York State is dying. Okay, between 2012 and 2017, we lost 2,000 farms in New York State and 350,000 acres of farmland. Saratoga County itself has lost 7,500 acres of farmland between 12 and 17. The county where all that's under check is part of Saratoga County. In addition, the average farm income in 2017, according to the USDA census, was $24,850. That's nothing. I don't know that any of you up here make that little amount of money. Okay? So what we're giving the town here is a project that combines economic development with land preservation and tourism. These three things have been outlined in both your comprehensive plans and your farmland projection plans, which were paid for by your taxpayers, okay? So what we think we're doing here is actually giving, like, you a project on a silver platter that meets all of the goals and initiatives set forth in those documents. And both those documents speak specifically to supporting both the brewing and distilling industries from the ground up. And ag tourism is mentioned in both of those documents as one of the highest priorities. We don't need one of these facilities, we need many, okay? And no matter what we do with this piece of property, okay, it's not going to make our neighbors happy, all right? They feel connected to the way it currently is. They've been allowed to use it without request for decades, okay, at their leisure. Whatever we do will make them angry. So I just want everybody to know that what we're doing here is a sustainable model that complements your goals and initiatives, and we're happy to do it. So that's all I have to say.
Did you have another person that wanted to?
Sean McDermott. I guess, you know, I did have some things to say. I think I have a lot of it to read here in what Rachel said. I think, you know, farming for the future really needs to find a way to diversify their farms in order to have the next generation come in and farm the property. At the current average census, the current census cost of living and the amount that's currently being made on farms is it needs projects like this in order to supplement, you know, growing the barley, because If you don't, you know, what is the alternative? I guess that's my question is, you know, if you are not supporting this, then what are you saying wood farm should become? Because a farmer can't simply plant more corn. They can't plant more barley. And as far as I know, a lot of the target market is someone like myself, is like Sean over here. You know, we recognize state laws that prevents some of the concerns that have been raised here as far as drunk driving, and I believe our generation has a great respect for those laws. So that's what I'd say. And again, I think this project does support the comprehensive plan and also the farmland protection plan. So thank you.
Last one in the back.
Okay. 40 Mountain Road. I just want to bring up a point in my second career here. I visited a lot of the microbreweries and wineries. And gone from Woodstock, Vermont, to Woodstock, to New York, to Burlington, to wherever. And every single one is held in high regard in their communities. So like we're talking about here, parking and traffic, Magic Hat and Shelter, Google that, look at how many parking spaces they have. I think you'll find it's well under what you're talking about here. You can go to every single one of Shelburne Winery right there. They probably have 8 or 10 parking spaces. People come in, have a glass of wine. There's only 4 or 5 people there, have a glass of wine, and leave. Same thing in a huge company. You don't see a lot of people there. It was amazing when you do the tour there. They take all their waste, ship it out, goes to biomass, creates energy. That's all I got to say.
So we're going to wrap it up there, as you said, and allow for future comment at the public hearing when we get to that point. And I guess I'd bring it back to the board now with what you'd like to do in terms of next steps. Do you have all the information that you need, or do you have additional questions of the applicant for the next step?
Well, I'm going to throw one out there for the next meeting, because it's something I have written on my minutes or my agenda before I even came tonight, and I just kind of put it aside. It was brought up by a resident, and I think it is something that's a marketing opportunity, but it's something you have to consider for how you're going to handle it, and that is that there is a snowmobile trail that comes past your place. All right. My imagination is they're going to learn about your pub, and they're going to want to access it. So the question is, how are you going to deal with that as far as just whether you're going to have access for the snowmobiles to come up and park in the parking lot, or they're going to be parking across the road and walking in, or... All right, it's nothing you have to answer tonight. I know it's probably something you hadn't considered yet, but it is something that you may want to consider. So.
Sure. Can we have our town engineers look at that pump down that they did for the water? Is that something we can do?
Yeah.
I think we should. Take a look at the curve they provided and just get a letter from our engineers saying that it's okay. And also from maybe DOH. I'm sure they're going to look at it for approvals anyway, so, you know. So if we could do that just to get an opinion on our side.
On the water?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
If the board agrees with that.
Okay. I'd just like to get back to the. I understand you can be able to remove the wastewater from the property. I think the tank is a 1,500 gallon tank.
Is 56.
Excuse me?
56.
No, I'm talking about the
storage
tank that you can put your wastewater in before you pump it out. Is it? Yeah, no, but the truck's going to have to go to the town. I'm curious.
It's going to be at least full 3,000 gallons.
Up to 3,000 gallons of wastewater.
What's going on?
You're going to drain and stuff that you want to leave, take off site. That size, just.
I think Rachel just answered that. I don't think you heard it, so go ahead, Rachel.
It'll likely just be pumped onto the truck. So we know we're brewing once a week, so the truck will be there once a week to take it off.
so it goes direct.
Okay, so there's no intermediate storage?
No. And for the reason that we are proposing the 3,000 gallon storage tank, you know, we, you know, there's the reason why we're proposing it is because we know we need to have it. So the drawdown and other information is just typical standard information from a well pump test. So, Jim, is there a town attorney, a town engineer that works at town hall, or is
that's it a consulting engineer, and we'd have to establish an escrow account.
Well, and there we go. And how many thousands of dollars will that be?
I don't know. That's up to, I'm going to have to consult with them and get an estimate.
Well, I would just request that we would prefer to spend the money on tanks and things that we can actually use to make this. My client started this process about a year and a half ago, going forward with what she thought was a concept that was, you know, good and comprehensive. And this process now is very limited. It's limited to site plan approval, and it's very limited in terms of what she's proposing to do. So she's made a huge concession to just have this farm brewery at this location. It's been carefully tailored to comply with the requirements of the state ag and markets law. And we just strenuously object to spending money on having the engineer look at it. If you want us to get a letter from the Department of Health, we can certainly do that if you're concerned about having an independent third party look at it. At least they won't charge us to look at it.
I don't believe it's going to be that big of an expense to have our engineers review some work from CPMA. It's probably an hour work, a couple $100. I can't believe it'd be $2,000. We've provided some bumper with pump downs and some bumpers.
Sure, I know that.
And so just have our engineer review it.
But the issue is if they don't have it on the order, either they're going to have to drill another well, which is something that I don't think, even though it's a slow, whatever, the 2 gallons, it doesn't really affect anybody but the applicant itself. And so it's their issue. If it becomes a problem, they're going to have to solve the problem because they're going to need the water, and they're trying to deal with it with a storage tank because they know the flow is not the world's greatest. So they've done their due diligence to deal with the waters the best way they can, and they're hoping not to have to drill another well.
I've made a recommendation of the rest of the course.
Well, your other option in this case, Mike, is you can put it forward in the form of a motion, and then
we can vote on it.
Okay, I'll make that a motion that I think our town engineers should review the water studies that we're trying to look from CPML.
Yes.
A motion by Mike to ask the town engineer to do a peer review of the well information, well drawdown information that was provided by CT Mail, and that would be premised by a discussion that Jim would have to set up an escrow account to make that happen. So I have that motion by Mike. About a second. And a second by Eric. Any further discussion? Would you call the roll, please?
Mr. Bouchard?
No.
Mr. Antis?
No.
Mr. Arnold?
No.
Mr. Bergman?
Yes.
Mr. Shaver?
Yes.
Mr. Jensen?
No.
Chairman?
Yes. So we're split. Or no, I'm sorry.
You can't be split on a certain
one. Oh, got you. So, you know, it's nice that not everybody has to get up at 4:30 in the morning. I'm trying to move it along. But thank you for keeping sharp. So, to that motion by Mike, we would not look to have a peer review by town engineer. I guess the corollary to that, in terms of the Department of Health review, have you had a conversation with DOH at this point, Dominic, or like, where does that stand?
But we're going to need that from them for applying for the building permit.
Sure.
Not to our site plan. Look, in their eyes, they're not going to be important. But we can for the request, but they won't give us any permit.
Okay. What else, board?
I gleaned off six things, so.
Okay.
I don't know if these are representative or not. I tried my best to keep pace. Is a sprinkler required? And I can pose that question to Matt. Water sampling testing, DOH requirements, I think we've just resolved that one. The brewing wastewater is being taken away. I think you're satisfied with that, correct? Any third-party review of traffic? I didn't know if you wanted to do that or if you're accepting the information as given. And then the last couple of things were relatively late. How did the snowmobiles factor in any kind of, you know, RV traffic that might be a concern? You know, snowmobiles being a recreational vehicle. And then,
Jim, I'm sorry, do you mean a snowmobile is a recreational vehicle?
Yes.
You're not talking about
a snowmobile. No, I'm not
talking
about.
Or
no.
Or fifth wheel.
No, no. And then, any concern over events?
Over what?
Events.
Events. Well, I thought you said events.
Anything that Jim missed? That you... Do you have enough information for you to move forward?
I guess the next question would be, would you want to set the public hearing or wait again?
If we were to set the public hearing, all information would have to be in by December 2nd for the public hearing.
The week of Christmas is your meeting, December 23rd.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do with it. So,
we'll
look at
anything they
have to add. I'm sorry, December
16th. I think you're
16.
Talking about whether you want to have a review by
the department.
Don't even
be on Christmas.
Whatever you may have here, but I will not.
They can't move forward, which is not what they expect. They're dependent on the DOH one way or the other. So I don't think there's anything that we should worry about, would be concerned about. That's more the applicant's concern, what the DOH has determined. I don't think we need to worry about the DOH's determination.
The only thing on the list that I heard Jim say that I understood we needed to address was if we had any plans for doing the snowmobile or coming onto the property. Mm-hmm. And we can certainly address that by the due date.
Yeah.
And we also talked about whether sprinkling would be required.
Right. Well, that'll be...
That can be addressed certainly by the second. Internally.
Is that question because it's a public place? Is that the reason?
Yeah, there's. Yeah, I don't know what.
There's also manufacturing business.
Well, public assembly, and yeah, and there's.
We can see what happened to Fort Convention. No, hold on.
I just didn't know. We don't normally. It doesn't normally come up other than.
And just to clarify, too, no food preparation on site, correct?
No, that's correct. You're right. And I think we'll be able to give the answer about the sprinklers very easily.
Well, that brings up an interesting question with food truck. Would the food truck need to have a vendor's license from the town to use wood to go there? Or would the ag mark over once again, the
I mean, from my standpoint, from what I've read of the vendor and peddler they would require one, but it's ministerial.
Okay.
Its requirements are met, and we issue the permit.
Real quick question. Can a resident hire the engineer?
Sure.
Or an independent water evaluator?
They can't pay for your engineer, no.
They can't pay for the town.
They can get their own.
And someone to do water, whatever.
That would be your prerogative. Your certain.
So we could do that.
You could do that. What we're talking about, in terms of for us is to, we were talking about whether the town would engage in an engineer.
Right, you voted that. But we as residents could and have it to you by December 6th.
You could, but I'm not sure if you would be able to go on the applicant's property.
The answer to that would be no. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
They might be able, would they do a review and report?
They can review the report, absolutely.
So it'd be
they could do a review, a peer review.
So you could have an engineer, like we were talking about having an engineer review their engineer's report. That report is on file.
Right. Yes.
Well, it has to go on the property.
That could
no.
be reviewed.
But it has to go on the property. That should be acceptable.
No.
So you wouldn't have any right to go on their property.
No.
We would have to have permission, of course.
No. So what would be the case in this situation would be the information that was provided by CT Mail about the well data. That's public information, right? So they would be able to do a review of that information that was provided.
But the interest of the parties. Would the subpoena allow us to do the water?
Is there some way that if our wells go dry because they're using up all that water, that there could be some kind of escrow account that they're responsible for making sure that we don't have to drill new wells?
No, there's not. It's not permitted under the law.
I would say this, if they're drawing 2 gallons a minute, if that's true, if that's their recovery rate, it would be hard to believe that they're going to draw your wells down. Yeah, I mean, it's just...
At 3,000 gallons per day?
Yeah, but
you're going to
get 3,000 gallons, but if you only get 2 gallons a minute out of the hole...
24/7.
Even if it is, I mean, you're still not... You're drawing 2 gallons a minute. You're probably using close to that at your house at peak times. So, I mean, it's not...
4 hours a day.
Sure.
Not 24. No, we have 200 dairy cows that were there.
Well, that's what I was just going to say. If I have 140 dairy cows in my place and a 2 gallon a minute well.
There's not going to be any dairy
cows. And it's the same idea. We have a tank. We draw from that well, goes into the tank on a regular basis. And when the heifers aren't drinking heavy, it's replenishing that tank. But you're still, if I really want to draw 10,000 gallons in a day, I can't.
So,
there's only 2 gallons in that.
To bring us back together, in this particular case, the board has voted that it's not going to look to pursue any additional well information. That would be up to the public if they wanted to pursue that, certainly, because the only additional information that we might get is if you have a conversation with the Department of Health or do any peer reviews there. But that's where we left off there. I think the two items that we haven't specifically addressed that we might get additional information on, Jim, was you had a concern regarding events. What was that?
Do you have any limits you'd like to place on the events, or just understand that better? Or are events planned? If they are, how many per year? You know, what's the duration? Because there's certain. I mean, the site plan is very modest. It's a 700 square foot room, and it's a 2,300 square foot brewery, or a little bit bigger than that. But so there's not a lot of event capacity here. You know, so is that in the plans? So what type? And do you want to look at any idea of a schedule for those? I'm not saying specific dates, but limit it to a certain number of events a year.
Do you have a sense for what that would look like?
Not at this time. We can put something together for the next meeting if you guys want, but I'm not going to provide more about it.
And as it relates to snowmobile traffic and the hours of operation, Do you have any flexibility on the current proposed hours of operation?
I'm sorry, is that related to snowmobile traffic?
Potentially, you know, after 10 o'clock at night.
We would, our hours of operation, we're closing at 10. Okay, so I'm not familiar with people who ride snowmobiles. I don't ride snowmobiles. So let us collect some information and come back to you on that.
Yeah, and my understanding is the snowmobile club runs along the natural gas pipeline.
Yes.
So that might even be a question for Grid or whoever supports the snowmobile clubs financially. We don't, and we've published it on the record, trespassing is still legal in New York State, so everyone please respect our boundaries. We don't allow snowmobiles on our property outside of the pipeline. So, you know, we'll give some thought to if they come off the road where they might park. But this is, we're not opening our farm up for free-range snowmobiling. That's not part of the plan.
So that actually...
That was actually why I mentioned that you might want to give it thought. Because the trail, I support the snowmobile trail, and I'm really glad they have access so that they can make a run that they do. There are always bad actors, and there are free rangers that wander everywhere with them. So it has nothing to do with alcohol. It has to do with a helmet and a machine. Okay. So my concern was that they might come on, and I know with the gas line, they're on that, they're not on your property, but they might say, hey, there's this great pub over here, let's whip over to the gravel bank, park our sleds, and walk across the road. Okay. I know you don't have access there at your house. I just wanted you to have that in mind and think how you might deal with that.
Yeah,
whether it be a prohibition on helmets in the place, or if you say you've got to come in and park at the bottom of the hill, walk across and up our road, or how you want to deal with that, you may be faced with that. It may be something that you, heck, if you weren't listening, but you may be faced with it. You may have to figure out how to deal with it.
Okay. So.
And the last item was as it related to a third party review of traffic. I think that was one of the
right.
Where do we stand on that? Do we need additional information review or. Or help with the traffic aspect.
Well, this 700 square foot area, let's put back a lot of bodies in there.
Nothing with this. I keep hearing different numbers. You brought up the 700. Is it the deck area 700 square feet, or is that 400 and there's another 300 inside and the combined is 700? What is the actual?
No, I think the deck is.
I don't know the precise. Maybe Donna can say, but the interior space is between 600 and 700 square feet, which.
And the deck is in addition.
I see 750, but that's seasonal. So,
you know, too many people out on the deck right now.
So the tap room. The tap room is listed at 680, and the patio is at 750.
So really, if we're trying to use the square footage to determine capacity, then we should be using the combined, because there is a portion of the year where you'll be using both, but it's still rather, 1,400 is still rather.
Do folks ever spill over into the brewery portion?
No. There's a barrier, actually. You can't get...
You can see it, but
you
can't touch it. Yeah. We were having a little trouble section you look inside and probably your truck.
So do you have enough information on traffic?
I'm not an expert on traffic. I don't exactly know what to do with that.
Well, like you said, with the Waller options would be
yeah,
you could ask for make a motion and ask for a peer review, which would give you additional information on which to base your decision, or you could say that we've got enough with what we've got.
Well, the traffic should be based on a hub or a town.
I've been assured that I can Google ITE.
You can, yeah.
Okay.
Well,
if you have any trouble, let us know.
You're not going to get far. They charge you for stuff. I mean, I think there was a reasonable job done. Traffic is all about the assumptions made. to me, I think the assumptions appear to be reasonable. Even if it is another classification, you're talking about a factor of 10, 15, maybe 20%, you know, if it were another factor. If it, he did it off the wine tasting, that's an assumption. There are others available. I've done it myself. You're talking about, you know, a very limited range of variation here. Okay. Even if it is a so-called tavern or what have you.
Drinking establishment.
I mean, I think Peter's point is on point. You have 680 square feet of a tasting room here and another 750 square feet of a seasonal deck. So you've got basically 1,400 square feet, give or take. That only has a limited capacity. I do think I would be interested to hear if the applicant would be so inclined is to interview other tasting rooms and see what their operations have been like. You know, I think it's a reasonable thing here to have some portrayal of how these things operate in real time. This is not the first one of its kind. I don't think it's unreasonable to have them call the police department in that area and say, what's it been like? Has there been any increase?
Well, I mean, one of the problems is a lot of these are in rural areas, so they don't have police departments. So, like, where I live, we have...
Well, the county sheriff, then. Whoever the jurisdictional police department is.
We have... Yeah,
or state police. I don't know. I mean, it just strikes me as it's a reasonable ask to understand how these things operate in real time.
As well as other anecdotal information.
Right.
Our hours of operation, by the way, are based off of other farm breweries in rural areas. So we did reach out to a lot of other breweries. If you want to, you know, kind of shoot from the hip about events, you know, you could look at farm breweries in rural areas and look at their event specialty, something similar like that. I don't know how you would call Saratoga County Sheriff's Office and ask them, what is the traffic implication for such and such brewery? I mean, it's not a...
No, what I'm suggesting is, prior to the date of a brewery opening in X County, there were X number of accidents on the roads in the area. After that date of operation, there are X number of accidents. Are there any increases?
You would never know. That would be so unscientific, sure. And it wouldn't tell you that...
I acknowledge that, Teresa. I'm just trying to get answers to questions that have been posed. And
what we can do is we can talk to two or three farm breweries, find out from them small ones. If we can find one this small, and find out what their traffic is during the day, like how many people show up.
Right, I think that's reasonable.
Okay.
What's your fee?
I mean, R.S. Taylor would probably be the
I mean, because other breweries around are more serving alcohol as a bar, like Artisan and Common Roots slipped in.
And I do think the point is that you can find ones that aren't, you know, serving food, because you're not going to be serving food, you know, and you're not going to have a full service bar, you're not going to have liquor there, you're only going to have what you're brewing on site. If we can find that kind of an operation or examples of it, I'd be interested to know how they function.
We can. I just want to make clear that it's not scientific.
That's fully acknowledged. I just think it would be helpful for the board getting their mind around this.
That's no problem. And we can clearly have that information to you before a public hearing.
Right. And I mean, obviously, not ones that are on a busy state highway. This isn't okay. The same reason. Taylor's not Argyle. We're
Hebron.
Hebron. So Hebron may be a little bit different than the town we're all right off the north.
You're not going to find, here's the point, you're not going to find this on 87, right? Like this is a unique location. And we chose this location for a number of reasons, and I can explain all of those reasons, but you're not going to find, Indian Ladder Farms is a bigger brewery.
That's huge.
It's a bigger brewery. It's in New Scotland map, right? That's the full address of New Scotland map. But it's around development complexes, right? So I guess you could say that, okay, its impact is sort of a high-traffic road. I don't know. It's not a comp to our brewery.
We have to stay away from ones that are on busy highways.
When we were dialoguing with the Ag and Markets people on the phone, they rattled off, I think, in the context of our conversation, three or four different ones that are just actively under consideration right now. So there's a lot of these out there.
Well, We'll call a few and put together a narrative, but we'll tell you it won't be exactly the same as ours.
And it's in the country road.
There are many.
That's no problem. Well, the one we brought up Napa Valley is a tourist stop. Bob, that's not true.
I'm asking, I've done a lot of reviews like this, and when you take the emotion out of it and you can start dealing with real information, it helps settle things down. Because right now, it's all a lot of speculation, and that feeds emotion.
I teach math. A lot of statistics can be gathered.
Or what would you like to see happen next with the Z-Farm Brewery application?
I think we're probably in a spot where we can move forward to public hearing if we compile what we've asked for. If it can be in by December 2nd, then we can at least get it to an official public hearing and move forward to that point. Is there any problem from the applicant reaching that point by December 2nd?
No, there's not.
Then I would be okay with making a motion to move to a public hearing on December 16th, 2019. Do we already have one for December? We do not.
No, we do not.
Set the time for 7:01 p.m. Is that acceptable?
So I have a motion by John, based on the information that you have in hand, to set a public hearing for the Z Farm Brewery December 16th at 7:01.
Will I have any notice?
Yes.
Yes.
Do I have a second?
I'll start.
And a second by Jared. Any further discussion?
We hold this on a special night and have only this on the agenda, so.
I think at this point that's all we have for December.
So can we hold that at the agenda? Can we have only that?
We can have it as
a. Are you suggesting that maybe have something, get rid of the smaller stuff and then just have this? As the major,
what I'm suggesting is we have a meeting especially for this because we have seen there's a lot of people involved here, a lot of questions, a lot of answers. It's going to be lengthy. If we should designate an evening for this only.
Yeah, I think this will be certainly our first agenda item out of the gate on December 16th.
Well, I'm going to say for that as much as we did not have to let. That's going to sound terrible, but I'm going to say it anyways. We didn't have to let the public input in before the public hearing. Because we've done that for two meetings in a row, we've gotten input that we've addressed and that we've folded into this project to a point where there may be a lot of input at a public hearing, but a lot of it is going to be stuff that's already prepared to be dealt with or is already handled on the plan itself. So, in as much as right now it looks like it is the only one for December, I don't see anything else.
I don't know of anything else. I
don't think we're going to be till like 1 in the morning or something to do.
No,
that.
I don't think.
So, I would honestly think that we have to make a separate special meeting for that. Maybe we could recommend to the zoning administrator that if like 10 projects come across your desk in the next 2 weeks, that you might have to tell somebody they have to wait a month. Is that reasonable?
If I could pop in too, just because you start the public hearing on that night doesn't mean you have to end the public hearing on that night. If there does seem to be, if it does end up being 1 in the morning, which I will not be here.
Okay.
I've been to planning board meetings from 1 in the morning, which Teresa has. But you can always, hold it open to the next meeting.
And that is true too. I can remember one meeting on this planning board that went till 1:50. I actually asked for a second per diem because it was another day. That was a wood pellet project in the industrial park.
I've been to 2:45 a.m. on a marina.
I don't think two decisions made after
all the public hearing.
No.
Should you please go ahead and call
me? Mr. Bouchard?
Yes.
Mr. Endes?
Yes.
Mr. Arnold?
Yes.
Mr. Bergman?
Yes.
Mr. Shaver?
Yes.
Mr. Jensen?
Yes.
Chairman?
No. So we have 6-1. Motion carries. Anything else that you need from what?
No. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.
Take problems before you leave.
People submit documents electronically from now on as well as in paper. So if you hear anybody, you know, sometimes people ask you about application date or a process, please inform them that we are requiring things electronically now, either a thumb drive or email. I prefer a thumb drive. So when their application comes in, their entire...
Well, we're telling them to have the invite December 2nd. You want us to let them know electronically?
Yes. Yes, so it has to be electronic so we can post it on our town website in advance of the meeting.
And I'm guessing that some of the bigger projects now, Jim will actually set up a website where they'll land information on it as well. I don't know.
Sometimes they have it on, like, Google Docs or...
Yeah, you can do Dropbox, that kind of stuff. It's really large files, but
right.
I just prefer the thumb drive.
Right.
It's because it's something we can... keep that thumb drive and put it in the file, you know, and so on and so forth. So.
All right, so we'll accept the motion for the January and February revised meeting
date. I'd like to do the holiday change or holidays interfering with our regularly scheduled meetings, that we move the January and February meetings to be next Monday.
Which would be January 27th.
And February 24th.
February 24th of 2020.
Thank you.
Do you have a second?
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
So the applicants for next month have actually a little extra, for January, a little extra.
And February, yeah.
Yeah, and that's why I wanted to do it tonight, so that I at least had...
And Jerry has something he wants to put on the record.
Yeah, there's something I want to get on the record. I think it's important. I've received a lot of emails. We've been going back and forth. There's one that I received. I'm not going to read the whole thing. All of you have been on distribution to this. We received this email from Margaret Durka, and in the email it includes the following statement. As far as the town is concerned, one, since January 2019, these types of businesses are tax exempt, so Moreau loses the tax revenue from this 300-acre parcel. Two, the road will need to be patrolled for drunk drivers and a strict adherence to the speed limit. Three, the town of Moreau and all of its various board members become liable for anything bad that happens to the neighboring residents. I would like to know from legal counsel whether or not I am liable for anything bad that happens if I am part of a board that approves this project.
You are not. Every board member is bonded, and so all the board members are not personally liable. Just like if you were on a board of directors and they had D&O insurance. It's very similar with the towns.
Just for the record, the
Thank
first
you.
One is also not accurate. As a farmer in this town, I can tell you I pay very nice taxes.
They're not.
I'm not tax exempt.
There are certain tax exemptions that are available to craft breweries and farm breweries that are not available to other agricultural uses.
I get that. But the whole business is not tax exempt.
Not the whole business.
The whole farm
and the selling of alcohol is a nice revenue for the state and locally.
This will likely mean more.
Thank you. I just wanted to get that on the record.
Thank you.
No problem.
They do have insurance, because I belong to the board at our community.
Ms. Morton, you had it on our group of stuff.
It's different for a town. Town's different.
Then our board that runs the dorm.
Yes, ma'am.
If we have insurance.
I know you represent you folks.
You have in our packet a set of rules about management. You have in our thing a set of a paper about zoning boards or three pages of submittal. Was that something you put in the packet?
Oh, sir, you're talking.
The guidelines of review of local zoning.
That came from the letter, this letter that you got today. It's about the streamlined process for reviewing applications of this type. Bear in mind, I think there's a couple things that come into play, especially the 305A stuff with this, and the fact that it's type 2. It really came to me. Because it is a type 2 action. It's rather than a
Jim, anything further?
Nope.
Motion by Mike, second.
Second.
Right.